welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, yes indeed. All right, how do we sound? We're in New York City. We're at the Television Radio Museum out here for a couple of days. Taking care of a little, I'm not sure what to call it. I don't want to be too cryptic about it, but it's some sort of advertiser something where they needed us to do something. And so they flew us out here to do it tonight. So we'll be here tonight and tomorrow from the Television Radio Museum right in the middle of Manhattan. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Dave is here. Therese is here. Good to see you guys.
Word. It's very exciting to be here. What? People always talk about the electricity of walking the city streets. It was great to walk over here this morning.
Yeah, it is. It is nice to see people smoking and walking with purpose. You don't see that in L.A. L.A., a lot of meandering, a lot of just circling, hoping to die.
Sure. Here, even the unemployed actors are in a hurry.
Yeah, like L.A. is a lot of people looking at their feet or looking at something in a window and walking around. L.A., when you see people walking around in L.A., it's like one of those movies where someone got woken up after they've been in a slumber for 30 years, and they're just out marveling at everything. Wow, what is that? That's called a traffic light, Bert. Holy cripes! You know, it's a lot of that, whereas in New York, everyone seems to be going somewhere, and they're just in a hurry. They're technically not running because one foot is always making contact with the sidewalk, but they're moving along at a faster clip than I do when I'm on a treadmill, allegedly jogging, you know, and they're walking and the chick's got the tennis shoes on, but they got the skirts and the pumps flung over their shoulders and everyone's on the move. And the thing I love most about it is two cop cars pulled up at a light. You know, you run into all those one-way streets and everyone just ignores it. People basically walk in New York City and in drive here in the city like you should be able to anywhere else. They just do whatever makes sense. Well, the light may say red, but there's no cars coming, so I'm just going to hurry across the street because, again, I'm walking with purpose. But I saw a guy this morning thread two cop cars. One cop car was sort of halfway around the corner. The other one was stopped right behind it. Do not walk. Signal red, but yet no cars coming except for the two cop cars. The guy threaded his way right through the rear bumper, the front one, and the front bumper with impunity.
That's chutzpah, they say in New York.
Knowing he couldn't get pulled over. Why? Because even though technically he may have been breaking the law, there was nothing happening. Whereas in L.A., you can get tickets. I once got a ticket in Burbank for crossing in the crosswalk because the cop told me that the light had began flashing. Right, chicken-ass stuff that grinds everything to a stop. Now, again, certain places worse than others around Los Angeles, but Los Angeles worse overall, way worse than maybe anywhere in the, I was going to say in the country, but probably in the world, since a lot of the places we're comparing ourselves to are lawless. Mm-hmm. You're racing chickens across the street on a dirt crosswalk. And then I thought about it as I was driving, and I don't know if you guys have the obsession with driving that I have, but if you want to torture...
No human being
no,
does.
Okay, well, here's how you torture me. This is how I'm tortured. You put me in the back of a car, have somebody get in front of the wheel and drive me somewhere...
Any chubby or...
Somewhere I want to get to. Thanks, Brian.
Working out the kinks over there, Brian?
You drive me home from the airport and have cars flying past us on the right and on the left when we're on the freeway. And that is, to me, like getting a dentist drill put into my forehead. It drives me insane. That's why I don't want to be driven. I do a lot of things where they say, oh, we'll send a car out because they want to send a car out because they want to make sure you get there. If you're doing some TV show or some whatever, oh, we'll send a car. And I always say, no, I'm fine. I know the town well. I'll drive myself. It'll be less taxing on me to drive myself. For some people, more relaxing to be in the back of the car. For me, much less relaxing. But we had the same driver. We took separate flights. We drove on the way in. If you guys notice, when we were on the 105 freeway, cars were blowing by the right and the left side of this guy. Not passing, blowing by. And not guys in Lamborghinis, chicks on mopeds and Vespas were blowing past this guy.
Miata passed you on the left.
I saw Glacier signaling and then merging in front of us. Like, people just blowing by.
Fat Tad rolled by
Fat
at one
Tad
point.
Went by on a zipper. The point is you think to yourself in L.A., why is everyone driving? What's going on here? Why are these guys dragging their asses? And then you get in the cab and you think, why are they dragging their ass all the way all over town? And then you get behind some idiot in a cab and you think, why is everyone dragging their ass? And then you think, And if you're like me, you like to work nationality into it immediately. Mm. Well, because we got the... What do we have driving the cabs? Well, whatever it is, it's one of those mixed up nationalities. It's sort of on our list of countries to bomb, but we haven't got to it yet. And then you think, well, L.A., what? I mean, New York, what's New York? And then you think, no, same wacky nationality. So why do their wacky nationality guys drive like IndyCar drivers, and why are ours dragging an anchor behind their back? Well, here's your answer. Chicken-ass tickets. Do the math. L.A., you'll get a ticket. L.A., they're dying to hand out chicken-ass tickets. Now, in L.A., they don't have enough guys to cover the ports. That's true, but they have enough motorcycle cops to park their way up the canyon and sit at the four-way stop sign to bust every goddamn secretary who rolls through a four-way running late on her way to her job that then she uses to pay her taxes with. We have plenty of guys for that. So, L.A., tons of chicken-ass tickets. Thus, if you drive for a living, if you make your living driving a town car or a cab and you're behind the wheel 10 hours a day, well, how many chicken-ass tickets can you absorb before you are out of a gig?
Mm-hmm.
Answer, one every 4 months, anything more than that. And if you think about the amount of driving you're going to do, well, I would drive like a pussy, too, if I drove in L.A. and my livelihood was in the balance.
Yes, here you rarely see a cab getting pulled over for a ticket.
No, we never see cabs or town cars or almost anyone once you get inside the city. Thus, they drive like they're trying to arrive. So, L.A., not the drivers, chicken-ass tickets, cops.
In other words,
creates the driver.
In other words, the man wins again.
May I say this,
though?
Beatdown
factor.
That's right.
Most people walk here, like we, most of us walk to work today in New York City, and any woman who's been here knows that if you're not sure about what you're wearing, every guy on the street will let you know what he thinks of your outfit and mm-hmm. every part of you. You'll get, I have the flip-flops on today, I'll get, nice feet! And then back when I lived here and I was fat, a lot of times I'd get, you're thick. Just
thick,
right to my face. Just they will let you know, right to your face, everything about you. You're thick. I cried for 3 days.
Well, I hope someone makes fun of your feet and calls you thick on the way home, just because it'll be good radio tomorrow. All right, so some quick business. First, Jim Cramer is here. He is the madman from Mad Money on CNBC. He's the guy who rants and raves. I saw him on 60 Minutes, actually. Did a nice profile on him on 60 Minutes.
He's fascinating.
Means you know you've arrived. He's in person. Also, Keith Olbermann will be in studio as well. But unfinished business. Now, let's see how to figure this all out. T, first, rehash the story for us.
We first saw the story about Peggy. Now, what happened was Peggy, it was unclear about her weight. It was somewhere between 550 and 850 pounds. There was a news story that her husband mm-hmm. was having sex with her daughter from a previous marriage in front of her. And they were also neglecting to take care of her, so she filed charges against her daughter and her husband. They are both in jail.
Mm-hmm.
In the interim, we got in touch with Peggy's other daughter, Amber, who's in a relationship with a mechanic,
diesel jug. Not even a human being. At a certain point, you become such white trash that you actually just turn into a banjo.
They are saving up for new tires for the house. And so Amber and Cletus, as we call him, we don't know his name because he won't tell us. We spoke to them and about the situation. Now,
mm-hmm.
between when we first got in touch with Peggy and the last couple weeks, unfortunately, Peggy passed away. So we've
right.
talked to Amber a couple times since. Now, there's some trouble with the funeral when you're burying somebody who's possibly upwards of 550 pounds. They need
yes.
two plots. They need a custom-made coffin.
Right.
So we were going to help them try to raise some funds.
Mm. Put that on my rich man, poor man thing, custom-made coffin.
Done and done.
Because I'm sure Liberace was buried in a custom-made coffin.
Yeah, painted like a piano.
That's
something.
Right. Costs more than most of our homes do. But then there's the custom-made coffin that you get when you're morbidly obese. Custom anything, really.
We should say
front
that,
door. Almost anything, yes.
We should say that Amber, who I think we may have on the line, was also allegedly molested by Peggy's husband, and she has a very young-sounding voice. And you correctly pegged that you thought she was molested around 6, because that's how old she sounds.
If you want to know, when you talk to girls who have the little girl voice, try to key in to how old they sound. Do they sound 4, do they sound 10, or do they sound 13? But whatever it is, that's usually the age they were molested. they lock off at that age.
You had her. You're like the mind freak of molestation.
Yeah, it was a year or two off, though, so.
Close.
All right, so Amber is on the phone now. Amber?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
All right, so give us an update on what's going on.
Okay, they had a funeral Saturday, but we had to get $5,000 up to give to the woman. She went and paid it and reimbursed her.
Mm-hmm.
I think reimbursed the funeral home.
At the funeral home?
Yeah. They went ahead and buried her Saturday.
I had a good idea. Someone's going to have to write this down. Everyone's getting bigger to the point where we're having to make airline seats bigger and everything bigger. We already have big and tall stores. How about the big and tall funeral parlor?
Ah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot. There's in the next 20 years, listen, my kid is definitely going to be morbidly obese. And when he passes, he's going to need a special casket. We'll have forklifts. We'll have cherry pickers. I'm just saying big and tall funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Think about that.
We are getting more obese as a nation.
Oh, we call it larger than life. Oh.
This is your ticket to untold fortunes.
My chain of big and tall funeral homes. NBA players, couch potatoes, come on down. You may be nestled in between a couple NFL linemen and a forward for the Mavericks.
So the whole home then is just dedicated for them,
they
not
cater.
Just the
appliances. Oh, yeah, and the whole big and tall. Yeah, like they have the big and tall stores.
Oh, I see.
The
That'd
whole
be nice.
Place.
You
yeah.
should have, what would be a nice touch, too, in the home would be with all-you-can-eat buffet.
That's
right,
because you figure that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Right.
That's right.
Well,
and trying to fatten up for the next group that's coming in.
Can we find out how the service went for poor Amber who lost her mother?
I'm sorry. Bigger than life.
It is a good idea.
Husky Fryer's our mascot.
Well, I mean, it's painful enough when a loved one dies.
You're right.
Now
right.
you have
Why
to deal
go
with
through this
trying...
indignity?
Right. You might as well
have
the larger than life. Mm-hmm. You go in, they take care of you.
Right. And by the way, with the folks we see at Larger Than Life, Peggy, the mom at 550 pounds, we may call her casket the pixie. You know what I mean? It's all relative.
Right.
Give her death that she never
Put her
had
in a matchbox.
Well, make sure all the names are dignified. You don't want to call it the lard
Jumbo,
ass.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sorry, Amber. So what's going on?
They buried her Saturday.
How was the service, Amber?
Well, we didn't have it at the funeral home. We had it at the grave site.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. All right.
It went okay.
Now, what about her husband, your stepfather, the man who molested you? Was he released from prison to attend?
No.
He wasn't?
No.
Okay, well, that's good, right?
Yeah.
And you're pregnant with twins, right?
Yes.
When are they due?
Right after Christmas.
After Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have names for them yet?
Yes, I do.
What are they?
Well, it's going to be Laura, Brianne, Elizabeth, and a little boy's going to be named after his daddy.
What was the girl's name?
Huh?
The girl's name?
Laura, Brianne, Elizabeth.
Laurel?
Laura.
Mm-hmm.
L-A-U-R-A? Yeah, after my sister is dead.
Your sister, you have another sister?
Mm-hmm.
The one, was she molested by this guy too?
No, she was born dead.
She was born dead?
Mm-hmm. My mom had
Can you do that?
12 kids total, but there's just six of us living.
She had 12 kids?
Mm-hmm.
And only six of you are left?
Yes.
Wow, it's like a litter.
Yeah.
And what happened? Coyotes got the other five, or what happened to all the others who passed away?
Well, Laura was stillborn.
Yeah.
Right.
The she couldn't carry him.
She couldn't, so it was miscarriages.
Yeah.
It's important that you let your kids know about that kind of stuff. I don't know how that stuff ever comes up between parents and kids. Abortions, miscarriages,
I don't
stillborns.
Want an abortion.
You
What's
don't?
That?
No.
You don't believe in it, right.
No.
So your mom was pregnant 12 times.
Yes.
Okay. And this guy, what is your partner's name? Is he there next to you?
Yeah, he's here.
Can we put him on the phone?
Yeah.
All right.
Yo,
Cletus, what's happening?
Not much.
You're fast becoming my favorite guest on the show. Thank you. Now, do you have to go to work today?
Yes.
What time are you going to work?
9:30, about 10 minutes.
All right. And you make how much an hour?
Different prices, kind of how much the job pays.
I see. But you have health insurance?
No, I get paid cash.
Mm.
Now,
yeah,
now
twins?
What about the twins when they're born and everything? Isn't that going to cost something?
Yeah.
All right, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. It's a full 9 weeks away.
Yeah, something like that.
All right. So that's what I like. I agree because society sends that message that says, hey, man, live for today. Live now. Be a self-starter and get in the moment and all that. And then when people do it, they don't have insurance. Cletus?
What?
Okay, so how was the funeral? Moving?
Yeah, it was all right.
Not good? What happened? Cash bar?
Nah, you know, everything went all right, I guess. You know, they didn't do that in the funeral home. They done did at the funeral, the graveside.
I understand. And so, Cletus, you're going to stick around and raise these two twins, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to put some money aside in case they want to go to junior college?
Yeah.
I was going to say college, but I downgraded the last moment. I got realistic. All right, and you got to get some health insurance, right?
Yeah.
Well, because who's going to pay for the birthing and all that stuff?
We'll take care of that problem when it comes.
Right.
It's coming.
I got about 9 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, here comes your big turnaround, Cletus.
How old is Amber?
She's in her 20s.
You don't know?
You don't sweat the details?
No.
And then you kids are going to get married soon?
Yeah.
When do you think you're getting married?
Let's get married next month.
Next month?
Before the babies are born?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm going to go way on a limb here. I'm just getting a feeling about this. You drive one of them hybrid cars, right?
What?
Prius?
Do what?
What kind of car do you drive?
A Mustang.
There's a show.
You were way off.
American Muscle. I was way off. I don't know. I get a feeling every once in a while.
You're
all right. Cletus?
What?
We're going to... That's not your real name, is it?
Nope.
But you kind of like it, right?
Whatever.
Now, did you know me before we called in?
No.
Oh, come on, buddy. Yeah, I know you can't afford health insurance, but basic cable? Come on.
You never heard of The Man Show?
Yeah.
You have heard of that?
Yeah, watch it every night.
Well, remember those two guys on it? One was named Jimmy Kimmel, and one was named Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
The really good-looking one.
That's one with one eyebrow.
All right, come on. He just doesn't want to give me the satisfaction.
He knows you.
Yeah. All right, Cletus, listen, we're going to check up on you from time to time. Look at me as your second parole officer, or possibly third. I'm not sure how many you've been issued. You do have a parole officer, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, look at me as your second parole officer.
Take good care of Amber. She needs you right now.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Chin up.
And listen, may I suggest to supplement your income and possibly get health insurance, some mobile DJing?
Oh, that's
that'd
nice
be a good night gig for you.
Sure.
Maybe he could manage your bigger than life store.
That's right. All right, Cletus, thank you very much. Have fun. Say hi to the guys who work for me today.
Please send our best to the family.
All right, we're a little tough with our levels, but you can hang up on them. We'll keep tabs on them because I'm interested in seeing how that family goes. And maybe we can even adopt the twins.
Yeah.
It'll be one of those things. You know, everyone wants to go to Biafra to find somebody. We got people right here that need adopted.
That is so true.
Just a couple bucks a week, keep these kids in school books and peachy folders and flip-flops. You know
Laura
what I'm saying?
Elizabeth and Cletus Jr.
That's right. All right, we need to take a break. Jim Cramer is coming up next. He is the madman from Mad Money on CNBC. Oh, wow. We'll work it out. We're here in New York City at the Radio and Television Museum, and we'll be right back with more of the Adam Carolla Show after this. Oh, there we are. I guess that's what it sounds like. Hear it.
Man, that was genuine gibberish.
You look like every
Johnny's Jim Cramer on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, welcome to the show, Jim. We're out here in Manhattan. We're in New York. We're at the Television Radio Museum for another day and 7/8. Good to see you, Jim.
Thank you for letting me be here, man.
Big fan.
Thank you.
Mad Money, and of course, I've seen you on 60 Minutes, and we were speaking before we came on that you were a homicide reporter for a number of years.
I happened to be lived next door to the sorority house where Ted Bundy killed those girls in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. So I got there before the police line and generated some copy that people thought was sustainable. So I got hired by the LA Herald Examiner just to cover homicide.
A stringer.
Was that just... I was going to say serendipity for you, sorority girls.
Well, bad for them.
You raise a good point. I was covering Florida State and Florida A&M. Mm-hmm. Great programs. Florida State was just getting to be a good football program, so I was on campus and for the Tallahassee Democrat, and then I was there. And the next thing you know, you kind of get caught up in that beat. And
right.
The beat becomes very exciting. I know, don't mean to sound morbid, but it becomes the be-all and end-all because you realize that you're going to be on the front page every single day.
Right. So what's some of the best stories you did, and how long did you do it for?
I did it for a year and a half. It's about all you can do it because then you start thinking, well, between editions, maybe they're in better shape to talk to, the relatives, which
right.
is untrue. My favorite stuff was always situations where you could make a difference – to the parent, you would try to explain to them, listen, your young kid, this is all that's ever going to be written,
right.
and I will write whatever you want. It's the only time in your life that you are completely and utterly biased in favor of the people, the survivors, because otherwise there's just,
right.
what do they have? And go to the scrapbook, it's like, well, so-and-so was a bad student. I mean, no, you write all the nice stuff. So I actually thought that it was one of those beats that had some pathos to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it burns you out pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean Skid Row Slasher, 10 guys, it's like, wow, and you go to it, and the cops are all real nice. The cops are all your friends, too, because all anybody wants is to see nice articles about the deceased, and I thought that was pretty good.
Well, so then how does that give way? How does being a homicide reporter give way to opening hedge funds or getting into the whole financial side of life?
Well, what had happened was that I was burglarized. I lived at Orange Grove and Olympic, which was there used to be a Frontier Chicken right there. Pioneer Chicken.
Pioneer.
Yeah, this is where I would hang
Always
out.
Always a sign of a good neighborhood.
Right? Yeah, that really is just a seal of approval. And I was broken into 3 straight times, and then the cops told me to get a gun, and then finally the cops told me, listen, we can't protect you. We're not your private security force. So I lived in my car. And you can only live in your car for so long before you realize that, maybe you should start making money instead of losing money.
But you did what all successful people do, which is spend a brief period of time living in their car. That's why I'm going to take my young son and throw him out in the car for a couple of weeks, even if the car's parked in the living room.
Look.
Just symbolically to say I was living in my car. Every great entrepreneur, every guy who's got a few nickels to rub together at one point was living in his car.
It
That's my dad's
sense.
Problem. He never lived in his car.
I went up to Magic Mountain 2 weeks ago, and I was telling my daughter, I said, listen, this was it. This is where I lived. And they said, well, there's no house. What happened? Was it bulldozed? I said, no. On Interstate 5, there is nothing safer than a truck stop. And they all watch out for each other.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What kind of car?
I had a 77 Ford Fairmont. I won a contest for the Philadelphia Phillies where I'm from, a home run payoff contest, made a G. And with a G, you could buy a car back then.
Mm-hmm. So you bought the new Fairmont, and then you lived in it.
Surprisingly, I had covered – the best story I ever covered in homicide was this Brenda Spencer story. I don't know if you remember her. She was a girl who killed 5 people. She was a sniper outside of San Diego.
Chick sniper?
Yeah, and I was also – my editor was saying, listen, man, you got to break that police line.
Mm-hmm.
He so obviously wanted me dead. He still hates me, which it's years later. I know he wants me dead. And when I came back, I had nothing.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing in my apartment, including my checkbook. So all I had was my corduroy jacket and, some chinos.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the live-in car is the shower and the wash.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You got to go to a truck stop or go to the beach or go somewhere like that. Jim Cramer, by the way, here from Mad Money. So you do the reporting. Then you get into your car. You bottom out, I'm guessing. How old are you?
You only bottom out, of course, if you've had way too much Jack Daniels and you have a jaundiced liver and you're tired of just thinking, well, you know what? This is just, I've been in every single position. I've been in the front seat. I've been in the back seat. I've been in the side. But just get the seat down. And you start realizing, I got to get a real job and I got to go back to school because I need time to dry out. And there's nothing like going back to school.
So you were drinking, too, in your car.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
What, you think that homeless people are homeless because they're like upstanding citizens?
I know,
it's because you've had way too much. Well, look, I'm a homicide reporter. You got to drink throughout that because that's kind of an exercise job.
Not only do you have to drink, you have to have that bottle of booze in your desk.
Completely.
I've seen enough movies where the guy pulls the bottle out of the desk and starts chugging it.
And you're probably drinking with the cops, too, to get your information.
Look, there's bars where cops hang out, and what are you going to sit there? Look, I'd like a...
That's for Shirley Temple. No, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So how old are you at the point where you decide to pull yourself back up, dry up a little, and get the education?
27.
So you're 27.
Yeah.
You go back to college or you go?
I went to law school, man. Just took a flyer. I'd been arrested in Colusa County for an armed robbery, which, of course, I had not committed. But when you're homeless with tags from Florida that are expired, no registration, this is what happens to you. You get rousted a lot.
Right.
And naturally, you start thinking, well, maybe I committed the crime because I so fit it. You know, it was a cookie store.
Well.
And I called the dean of Harvard. I had one phone call. You get the one phone call.
Right.
So I called the dean of Harvard, which the cops thought was like the funniest scene in the world.
Right.
Like, the guy would pick me up because I'm obviously a straggler.
Right.
And that's when the guy said, listen, man, I can get you into law school. I can end all this horror.
You called the dean of Harvard with your one phone call?
Well, I was like a student at college.
You were in law school when you got picked up.
No. It was between college and law school when I called, I got arrested. And I realized that, something, this is a spiral. So I reached out. And I remember there was a dean at Harvard. He said, listen, if you're ever in a jam, this is, I'm your call. And because I'd done real well in college, I was the editor of my college paper. Mm. And he rescued me.
And then it's off to law school.
Yeah, and then, you just get a good job. Goldman Sachs recruited me. And next thing I know, hey, I'm here.
But then you made millions.
True.
Maybe more.
True.
Start with your own investment company
I started my own hedge fund after making a couple million at
Goldman.
The
Street was big.
Yeah, and then I started that after 10 years because I wanted to go be in www.thestreet.com because I wanted to be a dot-commer.
And so
I have a lot of energy.
You were independently wealthy. You didn't need to work again.
Yeah, but I didn't start that way, but absolutely.
At a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, I could call it a labor of love, but then people say he's really full of it. But yeah, kind of.
Well, what about then, what about investment? I feel like most people know nothing of it. I feel like it's around us all the time, but most people, I have no idea what goes on with the stock market.
Investment. If you take a look yesterday at the line at most of the games, okay,
Eagles,
Niners was six.
Right.
Those lines are all perfectly set because that's a really honest market. Okay?
Right.
There's nothing like, crooked, illegal gambling. It's not like that. It's very honest. Go down to Wall Street. The line is completely a joke. Everything's manipulated, and you really got to know what you're doing. I always prefer NFL games. I'm not allowed to gamble anymore, but I always felt that was a much more true and regulated market, regulated by the thugs,
right,
versus the government, which is not able to regulate as well as the thugs.
Well, what about something like this topic, like gas prices, dependency on foreign oil? When are we ever going to get the technology to run our vehicles on something other than crude oil? How do we make? I mean, I'll tell you my thought, and then you tell me if this is right or not.
I'm welcome and open to ideas.
We're essentially doing the same thing we were doing 30 years ago when we had a gas crisis, maybe more. I mean, the cars are driving around. They have internal combustion engines. They run off 90 octane. It's all the same stuff. It's just we're paying through the nose.
Right, well, we're idiots.
By it. Yes, we have the technology, or at least if we started developing the technology when we made the announcement that we needed to start developing this in 1973, I compared the other day the internal combustion engine, automobiles, and average gas mileage to the audio industry, which was we were playing 8 tracks and phonographs 30 years ago. I now have an iPod that holds as much music as every jukebox in New York City in the palm of my hand, the size of a wallet.
I'm holding a pen,
right.
And this is the equivalent these days. A personal computer, size of the pen, is worth every single computer that existed in this country in 1963 in terms of being able to handle data.
Right.
We did not advance in energy.
Because there's a lot of money, and there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of lobbyists, or what?
Everybody likes the status quo. And the president, our dear president, is trying to claim that he's doing an energy policy. In 1979 in Brazil, they had an 8% decline, worst depression in the history of Brazil. They got together with the five families of sugarcane. They said, listen, we're switching to sugarcane. sugarcane ethanol. And
right.
that country now has a surplus. They were just a gigantic importer of oil. We don't take the medicine. No one wants to take the medicine. I think the whole problem comes back to Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jimmy Carter, when he said we got to take the medicine, was so kicked out that no politician has ever wanted to take the medicine since. He was also – may he rest in peace.
Right. I understand.
He's
I think
still
he's alive,
alive, Jim Cramer.
I think you're wrong.
The point
– can we get on Google? Just double check.
He's definitely dead. But the point is nobody wants to have – there's going to be a down period for a few years while we switch over to the metric system or whatever it is. And nobody wants that happen under their reign because those are going to be some tough years.
Right. And what's happened is that we know from Reagan that it's just better to be sunshiny and positive than it is to be downbeat. And because of that, no one ever wants to take the action. And the action's bad. I mean, you're absolutely right. For 5-6 years, we would have to just take – we would all have to drive less. You'd have to take gasoline up to $10. You would have to take oil to $100.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I feel – but you straighten me out because I just have a layman's approach to all this financial stuff – is that you – need to offer people incentives, otherwise they don't get off their ass.
Yeah.
You can't tell people, stop driving around that Denali, stop driving around that Suburban. You have to say gas is $5 a gallon, and then all of a sudden they don't drive the Suburban.
I carpool with Bresca if it's $10 a gallon.
Be fair, at $3.50, we saw big declines. In those,
right.
You know, $3.50 was a tipping point. You take it to $5, and everyone's going to be driving the Prius, or what I have, which is a Volkswagen Beetle, which does fine.
What's the problem? But what about this? And I'm sure the government would screw this up, but at least conceptually, what if you said you used to live in Los Angeles, lost productivity, stuck in traffic, you could barely negotiate the city anymore, it's so congested. What do you think about gas, $8 a gallon, $10 a gallon, and then the extra $5 is all going to van pools, buses, we'll pick you up at your house and take you to work, and I'll be the one who's paying for it because I want to pay $10 a gallon and have empty streets.
The Republicans have fooled the whole nation into thinking that that hurts the working man. Now, it is true that it would be a huge tax on the working man, but what we're doing is, I mean, I hate to use the mortgaging the future because every hack uses that, but unless we do that, we are going to be hostage to all your buddies in those countries.
And
Venezuela, for example.
Oh,
he's
a really good guy. And not only that, but have you ever read that book? I've actually read that book that he's recommending.
Mm-mm.
by the Brandeis professor. No, that would be. No, it's
we're
actually
talking about Hugo Chavez, who called
Jewish
Bush
guy.
The devil.
He sounds like a delight.
They have a lot of oil down there.
They have enough to be able to last for about 20 years, and you know, they provide it to Boston, which is
but
a little strange.
It just
it?
Yeah, they're giving everyone heating oil. It's a PR campaign. The point is obviously this stuff is going to run out. Obviously, we're a technological society that can figure out alternative fuels and alternative power sources.
Manhattan Project.
Well, I think it's the lobbyists, and I think it's big oil that is keeping all that stuff down. Now, I'm asking you, because you're a money man, it seems to me that private industry is going to have to pool our money, make it profitable, and invest in our own Manhattan Project.
I think that private industry needs at this point – I mean, look at what Shell's trying to do. They're trying to build nuclear power plants to melt shale to be able to make oil.
Mm-hmm.
You need oil at $180 a barrel to make that work. Otherwise, what will happen is the government has to get it started because too many people will lose too much money. But the government won't. You are right that the oil companies want the status quo. So do the
auto manufacturers.
Sure, everybody wants the status quo because
right.
it's worked and it's provided really good returns. And it's actually been a decent bet because OPEC had kept oil low for so long.
Right.
It ain't going to work long term.
All right. Well, speaking of not working long term, we're out of time. Jim Cramer.
No, man.
Sorry, buddy.
I was going to give you my theory of relativity in the market.
Well, do it in the hall on the
way
out. Mad Money, CNBC, Mondays through Friday, 6 and 9 o'clock. Also, midnight, I'll be watching. Jim, you're a delight.
Thank you.
God, love you. Rich and keeping it real. Although, don't give me that driving a crappy car business, because when you drive a crappy car because you have to drive a crappy car, then it's no good. But when you do it because it's cool.
Okay, I have a Lexus 472. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
I put my hands up. I surrender.
Jim Cramer, Mad Money. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back from New York City after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
Homies, and we got one hell of a show for you today. Special New York edition of What Can Adam Complain About? Keith Olbermann from MSNBC in studio. Outbook August, we got $1,000 on the line. Prisoner David, hey, we're live from New York. Booyah!
All right, let's push forward with Teresa Strasser and the news.
You sound like I felt because this, you know, it's going to be an adventure as we're in New York City and some of our great staff are in Los Angeles, so hopefully they'll be playing the correct clips at the correct time. If not, when I throw to Bush, it'll be Paris Hilton.
And when Teresa says great, she means it. She means big. She doesn't mean good at their job. I mean, guys like Kyle, guys like Tad, you know, 250-pound plus guys. Right. The great,
like the Great
Wall
Barrier
of
Reef.
China or the right. Great Barrier Reef. Not great in terms of productivity. Yes.
Okay, let's get right to it. Osama bin Laden, is he dead or alive? Reports this weekend from a French newspaper said he was dead based on some kind of leaked memo. Most think that is not a credible report, but other reports are saying he may be ill. Now,
leaked memo may be my new porn name. I like that.
You know what? It's funny you should mention that because momentarily I'm going to get to Donald Trump and what he thinks his porn name should be. Mm. But first of all, you may have heard that former President Bill Clinton went on Fox News. He went toe-to-toe with Chris Wallace. And they were talking about bin Laden. And they went back and forth about how Clinton should have caught bin Laden, how he could have, and etc. Now, right now, I'm going to play you a clip from that interview, which got very heated, and I, frankly, don't know which clip it is.
Right.
I'm going to. I know that any of the clips I chose will be equally interesting.
Well, let's try it.
Hit me.
The entire military was against sending special forces into Afghanistan and refueling by helicopter. And no one thought we could do it otherwise because we could not get the CIA and the FBI to certify that Al-Qaeda was responsible while I was president. And so I left office. And yet, I get asked about this all the time. They had three times as much time to deal with it, and nobody ever asked them about it. I think that's strange.
Now, they went on to have an even more heated debate. Hit me again. Oh, wait. Do you have something to say?
Well, I was going to say I can really focus on the words listening because I saw it last night. And him receiving oral during the interview was so distracting that I just sort of zoned in on it. You know, I couldn't hear what he was talking about.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, that's the point is, you know, women are more audible and men were more visual. But now just hearing the words, I can really hear he's mounted a defense.
All right. Let's hear a little bit more.
You got that little smirk on your face, and you think you're so clever. But I have responsibility
to a lady right
for trying to protect this country.
That's not
I tried, and I failed to get bin Laden. I regret it, but I did try. And I did everything I thought I responsibly could.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't claim to know enough to know what the truth ever will be. And those who say they do, I don't believe them.
Well, he made a really interesting point, former President Clinton, which was that, you know, there's a lot of energy and resources being put into Iraq and not into Afghanistan. And obviously that's a point a lot of people are making.
I wasn't listening because I was receiving oral. I just sort of shut down when
that's
either
good
I
news,
see
though.
People do it. Well, that's one good thing about New York City. I get to visit my lady friend out here in Manhattan.
Oh,
she's
now I'm
sweet.
Depressed.
Shaniqua.
Yeah.
Well, Paris Hilton in the news again. Now we had Joe Francis on our show, and we asked him about this. We thought it was an urban myth. It turns out to be true. Somebody in their circle burglarized this Girls Gone Wild guy, Joe Francis. They burglarized him. And then there was an incriminating videotape taken of him. This is where no one's quite sure if it's true or not.
Well, we had Paris Hilton on the phone to kind of confront Joe Francis because the urban myth is that a guy burglarized his house, then tied him up and threw him in the trunk of his Bentley or something.
Yes.
All that seems to be true. But there was a compromising videotape taken by the guy because the guy thought he would blackmail him. And Joe sort of brushes it off as, oh, you can go on the internet and find this. I have nothing to be ashamed of. On the other hand, maybe there's more to it than that.
Well, the cops interviewed Paris Hilton. Dateline had the tapes. Now, you have to pardon the audio because these are police tapes of cops interviewing Paris Hilton, who was a witness in the case. Let's hear a little bit of that.
It was a nightclub. The music was blasting. Just, like, I'm making shots behind the bar and, like, getting wasted and, like, passing shots at people.
Did Joe Francis' name come up first?
That's
not normal. You know, like, I'm talking
people
to
people always talk bad about him.
Okay, so somebody's making fun of Joe. Just try to remember, what did Will say about Joe Francis?
Just, like, there's this gross videotape of him.
I didn't hear much of that, but then again, I was receiving the oral. But I do feel I heard some of it on, like, Entertainment Tonight. she's just basically mounting a defense that says, I'm stupid, I don't remember stuff.
Yes, but then she got less stupid when the police started, lambasting her. She said there was a disgusting videotape. She went on to say more.
He hates Joe, and I'm not sure who exactly planned it, but he knew about it.
He said something about somebody being tied up.
And that they had put his driver's license next to his face so you could tell who it was.
This is stuff that Will's telling you, and you're remembering this stuff now.
Something about, his ID was there, so you could tell it was him.
Now that's a good idea. He made him put his ID next to his face.
I'll do that. Also, get a current issue of the USA Today so people can see the date.
Yes.
As well, when I'm abducting and making a compromising video where I'm sodomizing somebody with a mop handle, I'll ask for two forms of ID. Oftentimes, when you abduct people, they don't have their passport with them or secondary form of ID. I'll use a valid driver's license. I'll put that. Then I'll go ahead and put the newspaper so we get a time date stamp before I begin my incriminating videotape. Yes.
You said that you danced around it, but the thing is, and Joe Francis himself is now acknowledging that it's essentially true, that this guy made him take a sex toy and throw it in his own pail.
Yes.
That's true, and he admits as much.
It seems to be more and more true.
I don't know if he admits as much just yet. He said he took some videotapes where he was just saying,
I'm gay.
Maybe it actually didn't go into the pail, but it was around...
Right. I say the proof is in the chocolate pudding, so we'll find out.
The proof and so much more. Okay. Out of today's New York Post, since we are in New York City, Donald Trump, he's not one to promote himself, but he's got a new line of luggage and also a new magazine.
Yeah. Called his current wife. By the way, his new line of luggage.
That's what it is?
Yes, he just drags those big boobs around town, and then they get divorced in a few hours. That's how it works.
He's got a new magazine, and they were promoting it. And out at a party, somebody asked the Donald, what would be your porn name? And at first, he shouted, Big. Mm-hmm. Which, not okay. And then he had a runner-up name, which I thought was better, the Trump Tower. That would be his porn name. Okay. Also, out of page 6, Ann Coulter. Who you hung up on.
I miss that little lady. What happened to her?
Well, here's what happened. Her book became a huge bestseller, of course, because it was very incendiary. Now, somebody is writing a book entitled I Hate Ann Coulter. Actually, 4 authors, and they're remaining anonymous because they're afraid for their safety. I guess there are a lot of so-called wing nuts who
follow. I know the name
her.
Of the 4.
Yes.
Al Franken, and Al Franken. Those are the 4 authors that are writing it.
Wouldn't be too surprising. Now, this is very rare. In fact, it's the only time in the history of Simon & Schuster that an author's identity has been kept secret. The first time, it was a book called Go Ask Alice about a teen drug addict, and that was published in 71.
Well, the thing about the Ann Coulter fans is they all are packing heat, and they're all doing the Lord's work. So you're much more apt. You're really... Like a doctor working in an abortion clinic, you're much more apt to get shot by that right-wing nut job crowd than you would be when Janine Garofalo and company aren't fans of yours, because they're not gun toters and they're not thumping the Bible.
Excellent point.
Thank you.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news. And that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Therese, if you would be so kind for the next couple of moments to take over the oral.
Are you getting tired?
I take care of the sports. I can't multitask like that. I'm sorry.
He's
I'm not
tagging
gonna,
out.
Yes. Now, it's the final days of the pennant chase. A mere half dozen games remain, and with a 1.5 game lead in the division, the San Diego Padres looking more and more like they're going to claim the NL West flag. Bad news for the Dodgers. Worse news, the Philadelphia Phillies have won 5 straight, and they're now a half game up in the wild card race. Dodgers needed to stop the bleeding yesterday. Desperately in need of a win against Arizona to keep pace. Bases loaded. 2 outs. Bottom of the 9th for Nomar Garciaparra.
And a high fly ball. Back goes Burns. Away back. It is a grand slam home run. And the Dodgers win it 4-1.
How about that? That was my esteemed colleague, Vince Scully.
I know.
Well, he is. All right, listen, let's huddle up because it's time to review the weekend that was in football. Oh, yeah, we don't have the intro. Never mind. I'll just go into it then. Hey, first of all, I'll say this. The best name in the college ranks this weekend, Arizona wide receiver Cindric Steptoe.
Ooh.
Nice.
Cindric Steptoe. Like ooh la la. The Icarus Award for the person who suffered for flying too close to the sun. Yours truly, Dave Damashek. You know, it's no secret my skills with picking the prognosticating in the NFL. I decided to give the NCAA a go, and I tried the Pac-10 games. 0-4.
But let's focus on the positive. You are amazing at NFL.
Yes, we will get to that in a bit. But, you know, as far as the college ranks go, what can I say? I don't understand kids these days, I guess. Good news, bad news for the New York Giants yesterday. The good news, they scored 27 points in the fourth quarter alone. Bad news, Seattle Seahawks had already scored 42. Seahawks 3-0. Heartbreaker of the week in college, Michigan State Spartans up 31-14 and then 37-21. They blew it at home to Notre Dame. As if the heartbreak weren't bad enough, stomachs were turned after the game by looking at the Irish's morbidly obese head coach, Charlie Weiss, who had a big booger running down his nose.
If he dies, he can go to a larger-than-life funeral home.
Yes.
Oh, my big and tall funeral home. What? I mean, everyone's just getting bigger, right?
Yes, brilliant. Absolutely. Very nice. Heartbreaker of the week, NFL version, Arizona Cardinals. They had the ball at the Rams 18 in the final moments of the game. Then Kurt Warner fumbled it away. Let the Matt Leinart watch begin. Award for the injury most likely to happen in football rather than in Texas Hold'em or another non-sport. Chris Sims of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ruptured his spleen. The Carolina Panthers hit him so hard they ruptured an internal organ. Yeah. He had an emergency spleenectomy.
Let me explain. They need to start putting restrictor plates on these guys. They do this in racing. What happened with racing? Well, the technology moved ahead too fast. The cars got too fast, and people started to get killed. So they actually said, we're going to slow these cars down. It'll be fun to watch the race. But if we let them just go, they'd be going 300 miles an hour and people would be dying every weekend. We need to do that with the brothers. We need some sort of restrictive plate on the condom before their dad knocks up the mom. Or I don't know what it is, but these guys that are 265, 6'5", and run a 4.440 now are going to cause injury.
Panthers defensive end Julius Peppers is what you're saying. It needs to go three-quarter speed.
The fact that the guy is 290 pounds and can jam a basketball, no problemo, and probably has a 39-inch vertical leap and runs a 4.440, yes, makes him a dangerous weapon, and he needs a restrictor plate.
Yes. Lastly, I will say that for the inaugural Depends Award.
Oh, you know what I would watch? Here's our restrictor plate, because obviously there's no such thing as a restrictor plate for a human being. He would have to drink three beers before the game started. Just enough to knock him off his equilibrium a little bit, slow up his hand-eye coordination. Whereas if you're some white whiteout like Don Beebe or something from the 80s, nothing. You're fine. You can eat a protein bar. But if you're Julius Pepper size, speed, coordination, all that, you just have two 16-ounce tall boys, two Schlitz tall boys at the beginning of each quarter, and it makes it interesting.
I think Terry Bradshaw used to employ that method.
All
or maybe
right.
It was a half bottle of moonshine. One way or the other. The Depends Award goes to the very old, the octogenarian Penn State head coach Joe Paterno. In the middle of the game at Ohio State in the second quarter, he sprinted off the field. No one knew why. Sprinting at a very old man. Making like Julius Peppers, went into the locker room. Turns out he had a touch of the diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
And he continued to fight it throughout the game. It was quite a mess. He joked after the game that it would have been an even bigger mess had he not left the thing. And it continued into the post-game press conference.
No.
I was... Oh, here it is.
It's nice to see everybody, and I feel a little better this year than I did last year when I came up here before everybody, so I'm not sure what kind of opening remarks would be appropriate at this time.
Eyebrow for New York City.
You know, obviously,
Seth MacFarlane's got an idea for a family guy episode.
I'm so proud. I've never been prouder.
I'm glad you cleared the math up, because I just flipped the channel and saw him running, and it's like, yeah, the old man, he's got the flu. And I'm like, well, if we have the flu, you can barely sit up. Why is he sprinting like a linebacker for the locker room? Well, now I know why Joe Paterno was
faster than any of his wide receivers.
Right.
Quickly, Jerk Hotline. Don't forget the jerk list coming up in 2 days. 323-930-7318. For now, that is that.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
Speaking of the phone number, 866-901-ADAM, we're going to do a special New York edition of What Can't Adam Complain About? Now, I don't know if the topics are based around New York and Manhattan. They could be.
Sure.
We're talk
pizza,
about
pizza, Statue of Liberty.
Cab drivers, whatever. That would be fine, but I'll accept general ones. But, you know, impress me. Call up. Think about those things that are basically indigenous to the New York lifestyle. Maybe it's football teams, maybe it's monuments, maybe it's the aircraft carrier parked over there in the bay. Whatever it is, we'll do a New York edition of What Can't Adam Complain About after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now Adam complains about anything to do with New York City. It's a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about.
A TiVo.
I don't like the creepy TiVo mascot. What is he?
Call 866-901-ADAM. Live from New York, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM's the phone number. Well, this just in off the news ticker. Howard Stern. Going to be calling into the show.
Is that true?
Yeah.
This seems crazy.
No.
It does, but I gave him a call on Friday and told him I was coming out here just to see, just to hang out socially, and evidently he's received it and is going to call in live, I guess, from his radio.
Unbelievable.
Studio.
Wow.
Call the friends, call the media.
Oh, no, wait, he won't be at his radio studios. I was thinking about it because he'll be off by the time we're on because of the time difference. Well, anyway, we'll figure it out.
No, he's here in New York, so he'll be live on his show, right? Tad booked him. Wow, a big booking for a big
now man. I know it's a joke.
All right. He's late. Get out of mom's house.
No, it is not a joke.
Unbelievable.
So we'll talk to the one and only Howard Stern.
I can't believe
the
it.
The next break, but now we're doing the New York edition of What Can't Adam Complain About? 866-901-ADAM. We have our first phone caller. Ah, there we go.
Stuff.
We were just kissing Howard Stern's ass. He got confused.
And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right. Well, sight unseen. Let's start with John on line one. John?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's happening, John?
Not much. Congratulations for being in New York, man.
Thank you.
How can you complain about the Sunday newspaper?
Wow. It weighs as much as three cinder blocks. I have a poor kid who does the paper route. I see him up and down my street. He's one of those kids with one leg is shorter than the other. And he just drags him and, you know, he has the one Van tennis shoe and then the other one with the Van that's a wedgie.
Yeah,
and that poor kid, he drags those papers like a mule up and down the street. It's causing a scoliosis of his spine. And it's really, I always feel, I don't read, and the paper's one of these things that makes me feel dumb because everyone always says, when we used to show up Monday morning at Kimmel, we'd have the snobs go, did you see the expose in the Times yesterday? And then, Did anyone see the LA Times? Did you see the Sunday? Did you see, you know, it was always, did you see? So, not only does it weigh 80 pounds, but it also weighs heavily on a fragile Ace Man psyche. Yeah. That's what I have to say about the Sunday newspaper. Who's next? Joe. Line two. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening?
Hey, I've got a good one for you. How can you complain about the firefighters and the police officers involved in 9/11 in New York?
Well, this is going to be trouble, but I'm going to try. Here's the sad part about all heroes. The ones that really deserve to get laid the most, the accolades, all the, oh, my God, you're an FD fireman, you're New York fireman, you're a cop, whatever. Those guys are in the ground. Those guys are dead and gone. It's the buddies that didn't go along on the fire truck, the guys who said, I'm going to hang behind and stir the chili at the firehouse. You guys rush out. Those are the guys who are now getting laid. in the memory of these guys getting laid. It's the closest they could do. But, I mean, there's no greater gig than a surviving NYPD or NYFD guy over the last few years. You're living in Manhattan. You're a fireman for the New York City Police Department. This, you're, you know, 25. You're living in the firehouse. You're playing bumper pool all day and eating that three-alarm chili. Nothing better than this. And, again, the guys who gave all, those guys that are long gone, those guys that left behind the grieving widows and family mates, they'll never know what it's like to land a hot chick who's at the end of the bar who sees you wearing your fireman's hat. It's the guys who stayed behind. Now, all right, if you went into the building and got out, then you definitely deserve some. But there's the lion's share of the guys weren't there. I mean, if you do the math, they're guys that are out in, you know, Poughkeepsie. They're just sitting by a telephone all day. Those guys are reaping the rewards for the guys who went into the building. That's why I can complain about that. Thank you. Who's next? We got Colby, huh? Or Daniel? Let's talk to Daniel. Daniel, line three. Daniel?
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
Hey, can you complain about the Ramones?
Well, I'll tell you why I can complain about the Ramones. First off, not brothers. I always thought they're brothers.
That's confusing.
I'm sure it ended with a Witz or Berg somewhere in there, but no, not actually Ramone brothers. And then they're a confusing band because they're like the punk version of Chuck Berry. You know how Chuck Berry, every song sounds exactly the same? Every song is like, oh, that's this one. Oh, no, that's just, oh, no, that's Johnny B. Goode. Oh, but it all sounds exactly. The Ramones, you do that one where you go, oh, this is Rockaway Beach. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's Rock and Roll High School. Oh, no, wait. It's Sheena. It's a punk rocker. You can never acclimate for the first half of the song. So great band, but the songs all sound the same. And the reason they're a great band is because they created one good song and then made them all sound exactly the same. Who's next? What's going on? Thank you for the potato gun plan. All right, let's go to Charles on line one. Charles?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
What's happening?
This is Charles from the Coast Guard. Driving to work this morning, how can I complain about the fast lane?
First off, you must be glad they're doing that movie with Kevin Costner, right? The Coast Guard
the
movie? Yeah, it's nice. Finally, all these movies about cops and firemen and you know, Marines and all that. Finally, a good Coast Guard movie. And it'll be great because when you go to the movie with your lady and they show the guy being lowered down onto the tuna boat with the 40-foot swells, you can turn to her and go, that's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it is. They always do. And I'll tell you something that bothers me. Whenever they do one of these movies about the cops or the firemen or what heroes everyone is, and then they talk to actual firemen, they go, oh, that's exactly how it is. If they made a movie about radio show, morning show guys having huge biceps and having six-pack abs and having lines of beautiful women trying to get in to sign their boobs and all that kind of stuff and then saving babies from burning buildings on the way home, and they asked me, is that an accurate representation? Oh, this is exactly how it is. It's like a documentary about my life. Of course you say it's exactly how it is. You're rappelling. All you do is rappel. Of course that's how it is. Of course it's how it is when you say to your partner, there's no time for backup. There's kids up in that house. I'm going in. Of course it's exactly how it is. Except for when you turn on the news, it doesn't seem to be that way because the cops have surrounded the supermarket and they've been out there for 20 hours and they send the dogs in first. Yes, exactly how it is. What was the topic? Oh, the fast lane. The fast lane. The fast lane in Los Angeles. Well, here's the thing. I want it to be called the passing lane, not the fast lane, because it seems to me there's a lot of JOs, especially in Los Angeles, who drive in that left-hand lane. And while technically doing the speed limit, 55, people are passing them on the right at 80. Let's do it like the Autobahn. That left lane is for the guys who want to haul ass. And if you don't want to haul ass or if someone wants to pass you, you then move over. People shouldn't be passing you on the right. Why can't we work that out, by the way? You don't think as a society we could figure out that message? Hey, here's what the left lane is for. The left lane is for guys that are hauling ass and for guys who need to pass. And if you're in that left lane and you're doing 150 miles an hour and you see a guy pull up behind you in a Porsche and flash his high beams, then you move the F over and land around. Let's not call it the fast lane. Let's call it the passing lane and send a message. Thank you. That's it. I'm done here. My work is done.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Let's hear you try to complain about Howard Stern coming on the show.
Yes, the great Howard Stern is going to. Big Tad figured it out. Thank you. Big Tad got on the blower. Maybe putting in the phone call to him, telling him we're coming here, soften the soil a little bit so our seed could find a purchase. Either way, Howard Stern is calling in. I'm nervous. I'm sure he's going to have plenty of
you
notes.
You used to do his show and sit in all 4 hours, yes?
Yes, but this is different. He's going to have notes.
Uh-oh.
Yes. This could be worse than an emailing session with Kimmel.
Notes always feel a little like what happened to Joe Francis.
That's right. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, the legend, Howard Stern, after this.
It's the final week of September and your final chance to outbook August in September.
Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
This week, someone's going to win $10,000.
That person shall be me.
Not looking good.
Know a celebrity? Get him in here. Contest is open to anyone, even Mike August.
I have big plans for September. You'll see.
Your last booking was a ficus plant from the lobby.
Outbook August in September.
He's working on dark-haired chick from Three's Company.
And win $10,000. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're here in New York, and that means possibly Howard Stern. Now, we came out here for a couple days. I have to do some advertiser thing tonight. We'll be here tomorrow morning. We're broadcasting in the Television Radio Museum. I gave Howard a call on Friday, said I was going to be in town just socially. So he wanted to get together. I think Big Tad is the one who's been trying to win the $10,000, thus booking Howard Stern. Yeah. So I think Howard Stern is going to be calling in to this show. Is he on the line?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Well, maybe. Actually, it would be very Stern-esque just to say do it and then have me talk about it for 10 minutes and then not do it. So we'll discuss topics until he calls in, if and when he does.
Well, I have a question for you, because you once mentioned in passing that you would sit on his show, not for one segment or two, but for the entire 4 or 5 hours sometimes.
Yes, I would. I had a great schedule, which was, Stern is ready.
Huh?
Well, hold on. I got to tell a 10-minute story about something that happened 7 years ago. Howard? Let's see if Howard's there. Howard?
Adam.
Howard, good to speak to you.
Good speaking to you, too. Huh? Adam's
What's
got sound effects. Sound effects.
Oh.
It's already making fun of the show 4 seconds in, Howard.
This is beautiful, of course. We are doing our show here at Sirius Satellite while you do your show at so-called Free FM.
That's right.
Right. How is it going at Free FM, Adam?
I would give it a 5.5 to a 6.
All right, that's not good.
That's out of 80.
Out of 80.
Adam, seriously, we haven't talked in a while, and congratulations on your twins. I was happy to see that.
Oh, yeah, twins.
Yeah, and I don't mean he went to bed with
Thank
two girls
you.
At the same time.
I was just saying, finally banged twins.
He did not bang twins.
Oh.
He might have, but him and his wife had twins.
Wow.
Speaking of twins, I miss Robin. Robin, how are you?
Yes.
You want to know something, though?
Boys or girls?
A boy and a girl, and Howard sent a beautiful gift for both of them.
I got to tell you something. I sent a gift to Adam, you know, when he had the baby, the babies. So I don't even hear back from him. And then Jimmy Kimmel comes to my house, and I said to Jimmy, I don't mean to make you a go-between, but I think it was really rude. Like, I sent Adam, like, a pretty nice baby gift.
And you heard nothing.
I didn't even get, like, a thank you or an acknowledgement that I, sent the gift. And and then Jimmy called Adam and said, that's pretty crummy of you not calling Adam. And, Adam, you should call Howard and thank him and stuff. So then Adam broke down and thanked
me. Oh, he called.
Well, how about the part where I told Jimmy, don't tell Howard you called me?
Right.
How about that part?
This is a very
interesting situation we're in again, because we can't curse right now.
Right.
Oh, yes.
We can't invite him to curse.
This sucks.
We can't do it on his air.
No, are you on live or are you taped now?
No, we're live.
Oh, you're live. Okay. Well, we'll try to restrain ourselves. We're getting really used to cursing over here. Like, it's like nothing now,
To be fair to me, if you people, not the people in the studio, but if you people were just sitting at home and you got a couple of outfits and it said from Howard Stern, would you think it was from the actual Howard Stern?
So you didn't think it was actually from him?
A lot of impersonators out there.
You have a good point.
But you know him.
Yeah, but...
Well, but... my self-esteem is so low that I assumed it was someone effing with me.
I'm the same way. Like, I've actually gotten calls from celebrities at home.
Right.
And I the first thing I do, I call Gary. I go, Gary, you realize it's probably not them. It's probably Sal and Richard goofing on us.
Right.
Go check it. Then he has to go through a process of checking. Because
right.
You know, the worst thing would be a
to
tape.
Verify
a tape of me floating, you know, floating around where I'm talking to some dude. And it's not him.
Yeah, thinking you're talking
well,
to
Well, I got
Tom
a call
Cruise.
From Ricardo Montalban, and I believed it.
By the way, that is our announcer, Adam. That is, of course, George Takei from the great show.
Oh, yes, yes.
He is now announcing on our show.
Well,
hello.
What have you heard? Good to talk to you, George. Have you heard any of our radio program?
I haven't heard any of it, but maybe George did.
No, no, frankly, I have not. I heard about it. You might recognize the name Guy Aoki.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I knew you would. He called me, and I had to tell him that, no, I had not heard the show, but he told me about it. And then, of course, I've been following the uproars that followed.
You evidently insulted the Asian community.
What was the accent you were using?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, that's great. That's right. Get us thrown off the air so I can be down the hall from you with the grease man doing mornings.
There you go. We were just about forgiven.
I never thought Adam would last this long. I never thought you'd be getting up in the early in the morning.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine you getting in on time.
Yeah.
How is it going?
I got to say that the show, it's a tall order. It's tough to do 4 hours of radio, and it's tough to do 4 hours of comedy at 6 a.m. because morning, there's a reason that there are no comedy clubs open at 6 a.m. and that you can't get pot roast at any breakfast diner. Comedy is not made to be done at 6:45 in the morning, but I had the twins. So that was sort of me saying, all right, you're in for the long haul. You can't just freak out on heroin and not show up. It is gone.
Jimmy told me you're the worst father. Like, you kind of just
listen.
You tune out the kids and the wife.
Well, let me say this about Kimmel. He simultaneously calls me an abusive father and an absentee father. And my question to you, Jimmy, is which is it?
I can't be both.
I can't be beating my kids from Florida while I'm banging strippers.
Quick, what are their names?
You know this, Adam.
Hold on, I got a laminate in my wallet. The boy's
Jimmy
name?
Adam is the most distant father. Like literally will just, like, walk around and, like, act like he didn't have kids.
Really?
And he's shocked that it now takes up his time.
Please. He has a small team of Guatemalan nannies raising his kids, and he should speak. Howard, I named the boy Howard, and I named the girl Howardwina.
No, Robin.
Robin. Her middle name's Robin.
That's right.
Now, what is going on? I'm embarrassed to say I haven't heard the show, because I haven't even listened to terrestrial radio except for 2 days of David Lee Roth that I heard.
And that's all you can say?
Yeah.
You must have loved that.
It was amazing. But I really, literally have not listened to terrestrial radio, and despite the recent rumors started by Clear Channel and Inside Radio, I have no desire to go back to terrestrial radio.
We also aren't where Adam is broadcasting, so we haven't heard and we haven't gotten any tape.
Yeah, right. Well,
no,
I haven't
I understand.
Gotten a tape.
No, I'm not insulted. I look at it as bullet dodged. The last thing I'd want is for you to be reading me an encyclopedia of what I'm doing wrong every morning radio show.
But the thing is, you know, I do not miss it one bit. I love it here.
We're glad it's you.
Better you than me. I am telling you, I was miserable. I'm happy now. I enjoy my job. I enjoy getting up for work in the morning. This is a very bizarre thing for me. And I like having my own radio channels and programming and doing my own thing.
All those things you were reading last week that were worrying you are not true. We're not coming back.
We're not coming back to terrestrial radio. No.
The twins
I never would.
Will eat.
It's crazy over here. It's sort of like
once you've moved to Amsterdam and lived there for summer, there's no way you're moving back to Utah.
That's right. Once you can go into a cafe and smoke hash, it's not going to happen.
You know, I'm realizing how talentless I am. I can't interject. Every joke I have has a curse in it. In my head, I got to be silent throughout this whole interview.
Artie is so funny on satellite because it turns out he has to work dirty.
Yeah, I'm a blue comic.
Let's be honest. What is going on with ratings? Is it looking good for you? Is it tough to get a foothold in the marketplace? Talk to me.
Well, it is. I mean, I think we've been having the most trouble in Los Angeles. The national stuff or the affiliate stuff has been pretty good, which is we were number one in Vegas a few months back and doing pretty well around the country.
You were number one in Vegas?
Number one in Vegas, after two or three months in.
You know, it's amazing to me. I was number one in Vegas, and you're telling me it took you like a matter of months to be number one. I thought it was a great accomplishment to be number one in Vegas.
Well, it took us like 7 weeks or something like that, so it was some work. Yeah. I had to talk and everything. They didn't just make us number one.
Well, listen, you always have a place here at Satellite Radio when you get completely set up
with the nonsense buddy.
Reassuring.
I hope the boss is listening. Here's the thing. L.A., we started off at as close to zero as you can, which is, again, and it does suck following Howard Stern. I know it just seems like I'm kissing some ass here, but it's like coming in to high school. What you want is your older brother who graduated to be a D student who punched out a couple janitors, not the captain of the football team who was nailing all the cheerleaders. So the number, you would be very flattered, Howard, by the number of nobody's Howard Stern conversations I've had in the last 8 to 10 months. But L.A. started off at close to zero, and the good news is we've doubled our zero rating. we started off at like a 0.7, and we've made our way up to like a 1.7 over the last 8 months or so. So the ratings have steadily been climbing.
It's probably a very valuable 1.7. I mean, you got the demographic that everyone covers.
The richest part of L.A.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Yep.
Now, to sum up our situation over here, we're cursing up a storm.
Right.
Having a good time.
We're having a blast. We now have over 4.5 million subscribers, so that's real good, and that's a business. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the audience came with us, we're hoping to get more in the future. You know, we haven't even been here a year yet. And it really is a different kind of radio because you don't have to really answer to sponsors. You don't have to answer to management. Literally, we don't even get a directive from
management. I mean, you guys are on free FM, but we really feel more free.
We feel more free than you do.
Artie feels effing free.
Yeah, we all feel very free. And it's been really great. It's been a great experience because I'll tell you something. After doing terrestrial radio for 25 years, I kind of feel like I'd about gone as far as I could go and conquer as much as I could conquer. And this is a whole different kind of universe. And
well, I got to say, to be fair to the man on terrestrial radio, we've not had a lot of guys coming in telling us what to do, what not to do, other than Guy Aoki, who evidently runs every newspaper news outlet in North America. Other than Guy Aoki, we've not had anyone tell us what to do from a content standpoint yet, although you do have to mind your P's and Q's. And I will say, Howard, that the guy who works the dump button at the radio station is so paralyzed with fear because no one knows what the FCC wants anymore.
Right.
I told you
you were going to have a problem with that.
Well, who knew you couldn't use the N-word, first off?
Right. Are they not letting you use the N-word?
I don't know. I've not tried that. After the Guy Aoki run-in, I decided to zip it with the racial stuff for a while.
You were forced to actually apologize to the Asian community, I understand.
Right, we did. But I had my fingers crossed. So here's the point. We have gone through three guys who run the dump button in 9 months. We have literally fired three guys thus far. And as I was saying, as far as free speech goes, we don't know what we can do and can't do anymore, so we just censor ourselves. It's essentially what the terrorists have done to us. They don't have to fly any more buildings into planes. I'm at the airport with my shoes off being put through a metal detector. They've won. We're imposing it on ourselves.
But that is why I left. I couldn't take the idea that I had to sit there and think through everything I did rather than just be funny. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt that not only when I decided that something could go on the air, then there were 20 guys hitting buttons all over the country. And it just got boring, and it just got old for me. And starting up a whole new business seemed like an intriguing thing and something great to do. And everybody's really satisfied. And, you know, we got a couple of guys on this channel. We rerun our show all day. So you can, you know, if you're a fan, you know, because a lot of fans only...
Have you listened, Adam? Do you have?
Well... No, I was going to lie and say I did, but then when you said you didn't listen, I just decided it was okay to say. No, but, you know, Kimmel keeps me well informed. He's a big fan. He's a big fan, and he constantly listens to you so he can explain to me what's wrong with my radio show.
Yeah.
You know, every day about noon, we sit down and we set aside 3 or 4 hours to do a little thing called Here's What Howard Did. We do an air check. We go through it in real time, starting and stopping. But no, because of my schedule and because of, I don't know, I've been too lazy and too stupid. I am going to sign up, and I'm going to listen to you, though, Howard. I will make you that promise.
Thank you. It's really fun. We have Howard TV now. Howard TV is on demand, and that is a service that actually airs the shows unedited.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of big stuff. We had a couple of really big shows last week. What was the big show last week, Robin, that we did on Howard TV? Give Adam an idea, because I think he should get that, too.
Well, I mean,
Mr. Methane farted on a chick that got sexually abused by her stepdad
it's
for 20
much
minutes.
Worse than that.
No. It's gotten much worse. It's gotten much more hardcore. We went. I'm trying to think. Last week alone, what did we do
last week? I know Sal and Richard. That was the first painting episode.
Yeah, tell me what we did, Gary.
Okay, we had Howie Mandel. Then porn star Jessica James wrote the Sibian.
Have you heard of the Sibian, Adam?
No, what's the Sibian?
Sibian is a mechanical bucking horse that...
Well, it doesn't buck, actually.
It could. You can make a buck. It's a horse that women sit on, and they get sexually excited when they sit on the horse.
It vibrates.
It's very intense, and we put different women on there. And at one point, we had an 83-year-old woman on there who almost passed out.
We had a grandmother, granddaughter,
yes.
Sibian ride a couple of
yes.
times.
We got a grandma and a granddaughter on the Sibian at
yeah.
the same time. And I got to tell you, it made it was good radio, but it was great television. This is, we're trying to pioneer new and exciting things for people who are our subscribers.
We had a hodeo.
Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear the hodeo.
This is something you can do.
All right. I'm writing.
Well, we'll change the name slightly.
We had three women.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And one was a Holocaust survivor, one was a Nazi, and they rode together on the
Sibian. Hold on, slow down.
Nazi, Holocaust, survivor. We bring Holocaust survivors and Nazis together on the Sibian. the hodeo is probably something on Free FM I couldn't even describe
right.
to you. But trust me when I tell you it was the right thing to do on the air.
Well, Howard,
yes.
shifting to the social topics, I'm going to be in town for a day and a half.
Yes,
you going to have any time?
Yeah, I tried to call you back. The short answer is no, because you're only in town till when? Tuesday night?
Tuesday. Tomorrow afternoon, actually.
Oh, all right. No, but don't hold it against me. Because I actually had I got something going on. But I'll tell you about that when I speak to you off the air.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm curious.
It's very secretive.
Curious to hear about that. Well, any advice for me, as long as we're talking on the air, about being on the air?
Yeah, I think you quit. And you get out of there with your dignity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you come over here and have a really good time.
All right. So
what do you think of that?
Nazi Holocaust.
Yeah.
Any kind of Howard and I, you know, I know Howard got a little PO'd at me once because we were talking about doing satellite radio, and I said to him, how much? And he said, you're an artist, sir. How dare you ask how much? And the guy's making $500 million a year. I'm asking
left for you.
That's what I said. How much? And he's like, whoa, wow, it's about money? Whoa.
Well, no, I'm never pissed off at you. You're a friend, and I wish you the best of luck. And, you know, the idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me. I'm sure the show is in good hands.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Adam. And to all our fans who are still listening to conventional, boring, old-fashioned radio, come
hold on, doll. To all of Howard's fans who have to pay $13 a month to listen to a Holocaust survivor ride a mechanical bull, turn over to Free FM.
Adam, don't get insulted. You know I'll quote you. You said to me originally, I don't give a damn about radio. I just want to get paid. Don't act like you're all offended by my comments about terrestrial radio.
All right, brother.
Adam,
we'll talk soon.
Adam will do whatever radio anyone will pay him to do.
Listen,
he's a man who has twins.
That's right. He's got to pay those bills.
I'll be on. on. I'll get on the phone with Hanoi Jane and do something that makes fun of the troops from Iraq if it pays well enough.
There you go.
That's all.
Listen, Adam. Good luck, and I want to speak to you soon. And I do want to get together. And congratulations on your twins.
Thanks, Howard. We'll talk soon.
All right, later.
Bye, Robin.
Adam Carolla.
Artie.
Bye, Robin.
All right.
Bye, bye.
Well, the great Howard Stern.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That was surreal.
That was better than when we had Ron Popeil on the show.
Well, now, Dave, Ron came in person. Well, now, that's a big tad booking,
wow.
I do believe.
I can't imagine what celebrity is going to be produced in the next 4 days to be better than Howard Stern calling you.
That was amazing. And simulcasting on his radio show and our show. But first, I have to hear, I mean, he basically just gave you his blessing.
Yes.
And said he was comforted to know that you were doing his show. How does that make you feel?
Well, first off, right now, he's saying horrible things about me. He's hoping,
get your f-ing shine
he's hoping the twins get cancer. He's telling his audience my wife's a whore. You know, so that's number
really
one. You got to know Stern. The thing that's always been nice about Stern, like people do that thing where they go, well, this guy's a nice guy. And when a nice guy likes you, that's nice. But when a guy who doesn't like anyone else likes you, that's a real compliment.
Yeah.
Stern has never been a big fan, for those of you who have listened to Stern over the years. He's never been a big fan of other radio guys, per se. And I always felt like he gave me a pass. And put all that aside. And we enjoyed each other, I think, professionally, liked having me on a show, but we enjoy each other personally. He's a nice guy. And I think you heard a little bit of the more relaxed Howard Stern there, where you could see that it wasn't just a caricature and a lot of bluster and, you know, a radio character that he puts on. But in real life, he's a super smart guy, he's a sensitive guy, he's a nice guy, and a good guy just to hang out and have a beer with. So it's nice, again, flattering, high praise that a guy like that would give us his blessing. And
it's true. He does hate everyone, because I was listening to him since I was a teenager, and all you ever heard was how people should get cancer and die and throwing funerals for other radio personalities. And then here he's saying that he has nothing but, you know, kind words
well,
for
God,
you.
God bless him. And again, I'm not, we'll find out what the bosses think of this after.
Hold on. What did he send? Do you remember what gift he sent for the twins?
He sent a casket.
Two?
Yeah, two. They were nice, but again, it was more radio stuff. He doesn't like. No, he sent a very nice outfit that he said his assistant handpicked personally. No, he sent expensive, upscale, nice,
generous,
you know, kiddie wear. And I just, you know, it was up to the wife to get back to everyone that sent the gift. That's
and Lynette
all.
Is normally very good at that.
She is, but it took her a few weeks. And I guess Stern talked to Kimmel in the interim, and then Kimmel called me. And then I called Stern, but then stupid Kimmel told Stern he called me. Or maybe Stern did the math.
Yeah.
He probably did, and he just baited me into admitting that. But point is it was great to talk to Stern, and I do think that all the rivalry stuff is way overblown. There's room for terrestrial radio, and there's also room for satellite radio and the cars, hearts, and minds of most Americans. But the bigger story is Big Tad.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
Big Tad, again, we're doing Outbook August in the month of September. Big Tad, and it's $10,000.
Of your own money.
Well, yeah, we talked to Stern about being number one in Vegas some weeks or months back. I got a bonus for being number one.
Yep.
I look at folding that back into the show. It's one of these things where it's not that magnanimous. It's an investment. I would like to take the money that we earned
reinvest.
In one of the markets and reinvest it into the show.
Into Tad's
so
money.
I'm going to cut a check for $10,000, I guess, at the end of the show on Friday. We haven't exactly nailed it down yet, but I'll be doing it on Friday. And it's my money, so it's open to, there's no station rules, it's no Miller Lite box or anything. It's open to anyone who works for the station, including Big Tad, although he doesn't have health care insurance. Still, technically, he's an employee of the station.
And open to any listener, too, by the way, although it is going to be very difficult to Trump. I mean, what's going to beat that? Brad Pitt or Johnny Carson are about the only two people.
I'll give you
Johnny
for
Carson's
instance.
Johnny Carson's no longer alive.
That's why it would be so unbelievable.
I spoke to an old boxing trainer buddy of mine that is good friends with Denzel Washington. And if he, for instance, gets Denzel in person,
that's interesting.
When we're back in LA, that's an interesting thing. And again, we have to weigh in person versus phoner.
Yeah.
We also have to weigh what they did.
That was a great appearance by Howard.
Stern was good, but Stern was plugging his Sirius Radio.
But he also endorsed you as his replacement.
I'm saying if Denzel Washington comes in on Thursday and plays Ask Kiss Rodeo in the flesh, you got a dilemma.
Wow. I see. Or if he says, I want you to be Hurricane Carter in Hurricane Carter 2. Something
right.
like that.
The blower, or whatever the sequel would be. I think we'd probably clean it up a little bit. The Twister. There you go. All right. So, Outbook August and September. Stern on. Going to be tough to beat. But again, if you're a listener, you work for the station, you're in my immediate family, whoever you are, you can win 10 grand. We're giving it away in 4 days. And don't be intimidated. Stern, good guess. No question about that. But now, in studio, you get somebody in. Yes, the bar's been raised. The Denzel Washington phoner from Canada, not going to work anymore. He must be in the mm-hmm. flesh. And whoever you're thinking of, we got to get him in the flesh. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Jimmy Kimmel is up next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
This week, someone's going to win $10,000.
That person shall be me.
Not looking good.
Know a celebrity? Get him in here. Contest is open to anyone, even Mike August.
I have big plans for September. You'll see.
Your last booking was a ficus plant from the lobby.
Outbook August in September.
He's working on dark-haired chick from Three's Company.
And win $10,000. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Didn't we just play that one?
It was very similar.
Yeah.
Eerily similar.
All right. Big Tad, we're out here in Manhattan. Big Tad is back in L.A. Big Tad is
Hello,
on the
sir.
Phone. Hello, Tad.
How
well,
you doing?
Tad.
He's got a lilt in his voice, doesn't he?
Yes.
The one thing he's not eating is humble pie.
I got a phone call this morning from producer Gary at like 4:30 this morning out here in California, and I got super excited.
I hear Jimmy Kimmel's on the radio as well. Jimmy, you there?
Now doing my own show.
Yes. What's happening?
Nothing. That was exciting. It was like when Superman and Spider-Man were in a comic book together, you know?
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very excited that I asked Jimmy about this. I go, Jimmy, should I try this? And he writes back, he says, you can try it, but it's not going to happen.
I said it's very unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
But you know what? Everything about you was unlikely to happen, Tad. You were unlikely to actually a 17-pound baby to get out of his mother's birthing canal.
That's true.
You're unlikely to become a radio star, and you just keep surprising us one time after another.
He's always beating the odds.
Yes. He really is.
Tad,
he's in.
Please.
And by the way, we weighed him today, and he is in the 99th percentile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he's very healthy.
So, Jimmy, where are you right now? Are you at home?
Yeah, I'm at home. I just dropped one of the children that my Guatemalan maid raises for me off at school. You know, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then I go do work all day, do my late-night talk show. You know how it goes.
Well, Jimmy, did you, if we're going to talk about what Howard brought up, what about the fact that you said that Adam's not a good father?
Well, I did not say that. What I said was I told him the amusing anecdote of Adam not knowing his daughter's middle name after several months of life.
Hold on. Middle name, not first name, not last name, middle name. Well, we can get to me being a truant father in a moment, but Jimmy, I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show when I came up with what I think is one of my best ideas in the last 5 years, which is, and I'm going to, a reason I'm pitching it to you is because I'm going to need a little funding, and
okay.
I hope you can get behind me on this one.
All right.
It is a big and tall funeral home.
I did hear that, yeah.
Bigger than life,
yeah.
Huh? There's
like
money
it.
To be made here.
I like
Tad?
It. I think you got to change the name. You know, the name is a lot of fun, but people don't go for fun when it comes to, you know?
What were you thinking of the name?
They will now, yes.
How about this? Name it after Andy Granatelli, who was at Granatelli and Sons, something like that.
Dad has more gravitas.
He was a former race car driver.
Or how about somebody fat that anyone besides the two of us knows? Maybe might be better.
Well, it's a little inside.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll get on the news when John Goodman or a Big Tad is buried there. We'll get a little favorable press.
Yeah, Goodman would be great. Everyone likes John Goodman, and he's fat.
All right, well, Tad, you're going to have to kill him. That's your next assignment. So what do you think about Tad in the 10 grand and Howard Stern and his
I think
chances?
He's almost impossible to beat at this point. Almost impossible.
This is the greatest achievement of Tad's life.
Jimmy, can you think of any guest under any circumstances that would beat Howard Stern and simulcasting on his show?
Well, first of all, I want to say this is the only achievement of Tad's life, number one. Number two, I don't, you know what, I think you have to take everything into consideration, and maybe like if Brad and Angelina came in and conceived another child in front of you guys there in the studio, we'd have to take a serious, serious look at it, but barring that, I don't know, you know, for your show to have Howard Stern on the air, not just Howard, by the way, but Howard and Robin and Artie and even Gary made a little appearance, and Sulu on top of it.
Oh, that was great.
That's
who
a good
may have
point.
Been, he could possibly have been a contender just on his own.
Sad but true.
And add to that the endorsement that he gave Adam Carolla.
Well, I have to say, if people are working on this, they better really dig deep.
All right, so Big Tad, here's what I have to say about you in the achievement department.
Yes, sir.
Move over finishing a pig's trough over at Farrell's. There's a new there's a new name on the leaderboard. It's booking Howard Stern on the Adam Carolla show.
Thank you.
Did anyone take Mike August's shoelaces away from him?
You think he might hurt himself?
I think it's possible.
Well, he always wears bad slip-ons, as you know. If he ever wears shoes that have laces, chances are it's his brother-in-law. Shoelaces we'd be taking away from him. He is on line 10, I hear, so maybe we could get him on as well. Mike, are you there?
Fantastic.
Now, had you tried to book Howard Stern yourself, Mike?
I had some issues with Howard Stern. I thought that Howard Stern would be a problem for us.
The issue was he wouldn't call Mike back. That was the issue.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike. You tried to get him before, didn't you?
I have tried in the past. That is true.
Okay. Now, how are you going to beat this?
Oh, I have plans, Adam.
Do you?
What are your plans? What could be your plans?
Give us a hint.
Faking his death and collecting on the insurance.
Jimmy is actually aware of my little plan that I've got planned for your return when you come back to Los Angeles this week.
I forgot. That's how impressive it was.
How Adam forgot his daughter's middle name.
Eva,
well, don't
Eva,
tell the plan,
on.
But I can't imagine that. Well, we'll see, I guess.
Well,
In studio.
Right. Now, let me say this, Jimmy. I know you're a big Stern fan, as am I, but what if I was talking hypothetically about, like, Denzel Washington in studio and, let's say, playing Ass Kiss Rodeo? Do you think that rivals Howard Stern in the outbook department?
I don't think so. I don't think Denzel, because I don't see Denzel Washington being that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He would have to talk about something big, like extramarital affairs.
Or say that he killed the drifter.
Right.
I also look at it from a late-night talk show standpoint, you know? And when you're doing a late-night talk show and you have your dream guest that you want to, who do you want on the show? Mm-hmm. Who brings a bigger rating to a late-night talk show than Howard Stern?
Well, that is interesting, and that's why you're going to be on the panel to help decide, because this essentially you can apply all the same rules and math you would apply to late-night booking to a morning show, which is, yes, who would get more TV sets to tune into your station if they were on? And there's not too many people that would do better than that than Howard Stern.
There you go.
But I do not want to discourage folks from trying. If you have an A-list celebrity and you can get them in the flesh, my mind will be open to hear anything you have to say and put any celebrity in front of me. You will. And again, they could come in there and hit a home run, and then we could have a serious dilemma on our hands.
Well, all I know is I just can't wait to see what Tad's going to do with $10,000.
I owe you money, by the way, Jimmy.
What could you possibly do? I mean, how many onion rings can one buy?
Tons.
Tad, what are you planning on doing with that money?
Actually paying back Mr. Kimmel for my first DUI that I got.
And I'm definitely voting for him.
Yeah, and then I'm definitely going to the Red Lobster. And I'm bringing my crew with me.
Every night for 27 years.
I have an ethical question. Jimmy, do you think you can be objective knowing that if Tad wins, the money goes to you?
Absolutely.
Tad told me off the air he was going to buy a golden dirigible and sail across the world in it.
Wow.
And I explained to him it's $10,000. You can barely get a crappy car with that.
That's the kind. It's a new brand of car. It's the Kia dirigible.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, Jimmy. I know it's going to be difficult for you to do the math, but you know Big Tad. He's a man who drives a Ford Celebrity or a Chevy Citation or whatever the hell he does. Whatever it is, it has a straw where the ignition should be that he has to blow into to start it. He lives in a cramped apartment with a couple of roommates. He probably makes $700 a week with no health insurance. What do you think that $10,000 is to Big Tad? What do you think the equivalent would be to you?
Oh, in Kimmel bucks?
In Kimmel bucks.
$100 million.
That's a conservative estimate. All right. Hey, Jimmy, yeah. who's on the show tonight so we can give your show a little
I don't plug. Even remember. Listen, I'm just excited about your show right now. Never mind my show.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, Diane Lane.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Wasn't Diane Lane just on?
It's a rerun.
Oh,
sorry. Well played. Tuesday through Friday.
Sorry, brother. That's Diane right. Lane, well, at least shows I know she was just on, and Chingy's going to be on as well. All right, Jimmy, thank you very much for your tutelage.
Congratulations to everyone. That was very exciting.
Thank you, and Big Tad, again, I got my fingers crossed for you.
Only thing that's going to beat that now is maybe Mean Joe Green. Maybe.
Maybe.
I just think that we should all be inspired because for all the Big Tads out there, you too can succeed if you try and put your mind to it.
All right. We will take a break. And 866-901-ADAM, we'll take a break. When we come back, why don't you call in, tell us what you thought of Stern. We'll devote a little more time to that topic because I'm interested to feel and hear what the listeners have to say about it. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Tad. We'll be right back after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, live from New York City, powered by TravelWorm.com. Mention Adam and get an extra 10% off select hotel rooms through October 15th. Before you pay too much, TravelWorm.com. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Ultimately, Reaganomics was both a success and a failure.
Someone needs a spanking. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I think Jesse will be on a little bit later today when we do our NFL gambling roundup. We have my dog, we have me, we have Damashek, and Jesse Jane Pornstar all gambling against each other. Hope Molly did better than me. Do not give anything away, please, Damashek. But sad.
I'll tell you nothing.
I can tell from the look on Dave's face.
Look at him.
You'll be thrilled with the results across the board. That's all I'll say.
Well, we had Howard Stern on the phone a couple of moments ago, and we found it interesting, and I'm curious on what you think of it. Also, Keith Overman will be in here. There's a smart guy. Been watching him since he was on locally in Los Angeles doing sports. But Keith Overman will be in studio coming up very shortly on the Adam Carolla Show. First, we like to take some phone calls and just give us your feeling on Stern being on the show. I got to be honest, it was one of those things where it always sounded like a cool idea, but we weren't sure what the bosses were going to think and weren't sure what Stern was going to do because Stern can, well, as anyone knows, can be a little domineering, and he also sometimes can be a little bit insulting when he talks to other radio show guys. I talked to Stern a couple of times in the last few months, and we're friends, but that's the off-the-air Stern. We weren't sure what he was going to do on the air, and we weren't sure if he was going to get us into trouble or get us in trouble with either the censors or our bosses or whoever. Turned out he was quite magnanimous and friendly, and I thought it was a good segment, but we'd like to hear your opinions. 866-901-ADAM. Who's on the phone? You want to start with Mike on line two? Mike?
Hey, good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Well, I'm a serious subscriber, so it was kind of interesting. I left my my antenna for my radio at work on Friday and was looking for an alternative on the drive-in this morning, and going through the dial, and I heard you first and who you were, and then heard the Howard thing start, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is definitely worth a shot. And so I said to your producer, it's kind of interesting when you're paying for a service, you kind of feel like you have an obligation that you have to listen to it, you know, so you don't even search for alternatives. But the show's been very refreshing. I mean, candidly, I've been listening for about an hour and 15 minutes or something, so the combination of Howard and Kimmel, it's not so much different than a Howard.
That's a good point.
Howard morning so
yeah,
far.
You picked the right hour and 22 minutes to join the show.
It's always like this, Mike.
Fine. That's great.
Well,
guys. It is
a little different. Usually Stern's on for longer, but I guess he was in a hurry this morning. Well, here's the thing, as I've spoken to a few people about it. There is room in everyone's lunchbox for more than one radio sandwich. And you can have your Howard Stern and your Sirius. That's fine. And you can have us. And you can. I've talked to a lot of people who say they listen to us and then they'll listen to Stern because they can hear him 24 hours a day. So they'll listen to us and then maybe they'll listen to him later on in the afternoon or whenever it is. I'm fine with that. I understand that. I think we all pretend like that doesn't exist in television and in radio, that if you're the host of a show, you can't go on a competing network and all that. I feel like a lot of it's just a lot of posturing. I don't think it makes sense in the real world. I feel like people have choices. They have hands to change dials. They have more than one ear. And just like you and I, you can enjoy this show. You can enjoy a sports program. You can enjoy some morning stuff. You can enjoy some satellite stuff. And I think ultimately there's room for everyone. And I'm glad, Mike, guys like you have made some room on your menu for us.
Pleasure to do so, man. And you're absolutely right, because I do listen to sports, and I don't necessarily listen to sports on Sirius because it doesn't give me, like, an L.A. flavor. And I can pick up L.A. traffic there, but I don't because it's always a little bit of delay or a repeat, so I can get something fresh, you know, going to an AM station here in the L.A. market. And it's nice to have the choices. And your show sounds great, and you got a new part-time listener, so thanks a lot.
Aww.
Thanks, Mike.
That's nice.
I like the part-time qualification, but fine.
Part-time, no benefits.
That's
not
right.
Like our employees here.
That's right. All right, who's
if I heard him correctly, he wants more sports.
I didn't hear that at all.
I heard more traffic.
Line three, Eric is on the phone. Eric.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, I'm a
hey,
full-time
Dave.
Listener.
More sports.
Ah, thank you.
Hey,
you want to say hi to Chop Liver and his number one sports?
Yeah, right. Okay, hey, Dave, what's up?
All right. What's up there, Eric?
I want to thank you for having Stern on, because you reminded me how much funnier you are than him.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't miss him. A bunch of guys I work with listen. Brian and Rick, they listen. They don't miss him at all either.
Well, I got to say this about Stern and something I've always said about Stern. It's funny because people tend to oversimplify. They hear the Stern show and they go, that's a funny show, thus Stern is funny. Stern is funny, but he's smarter than he is funny. He's not a comedian, per se. He's more of a conductor. He's not a virtuoso guitar player. He runs the whole band and does it better than anybody. But that's really where his strengths are. And it's funny when people sort of break it down. You know, I think that you're funnier, this guy's funnier, whatever. I may be funnier than Stern. That doesn't mean I'm a better band leader. And it's good to be funny, but it's also good to be able to pick up the baton in the morning hours and conduct the band a little bit as well.
Adam,
all right. Yes.
The whole show is better.
Thanks, buddy. I agree 100%.
Right.
Who's next on line five? Who do we have? Dina? Dina,
hey,
you there?
Yeah. Adam, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
God, I'm a listener of yours now from Vegas, and I just got done listening to Howard. And
on your show, and I have the chills. I'm just, oh, my God.
I felt the same way.
You've got to feel so good to hear those comments from him.
It's nice to know there's going to be a home for me when we get thrown off the air.
He did offer you a job on his network, didn't he?
He sort of did, but the question is what the pay was. I know he laughed that off, but seriously, I remember where I was. I was putzing around my house in my towel, and I was talking to Stern about a year ago, and he kept saying, hey, man, you come do satellite radio, and you can drop an F-bomb whenever you want. And I said, that is awesome. What's the pay? And he was like, wow.
How dare you?
How dare you? Hold on, I have to wipe my ass with another 20. Now, what did you say? I can't hear you because I have rolls of quarters in my ears. But, yes, he was insulted that I brought up money. And look, everybody, let's be honest. I would love to do something. I'd love to do a new job every day if it paid great. I would love to work with retarded kids and then be on the rodeo circuit and then fly commercial aircraft and then be a street sweeper. I'd be it all if it paid right, and we'd all be doing something else. I mean, it's work, and it's nice to express yourself creatively, but ultimately it is work, and you want a payday. And I think the difference now, if it's the difference between 50 cents, well, then express yourself and lose just a couple of bucks. But if it's the difference between a few million bucks and next to nothing, well, then you do the math. And I think everyone listening would do the same. So, Dina?
Tad oh, yeah. Should win that 10,000 hands down. I mean,
Well, definitely, he's definitely in the running, and I think he's the front runner.
We should say to Dina and our other Vegas listeners, thank you for making us number one there.
Oh, I know. I've kind of felt bad for Howard when you guys said that. I felt it hurt him a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah, he's such a delicate flower. But, you know, if I know that kid, he'll dust himself off.
Yeah.
With one of a $100 bills.
He'll land on his feet or on his smoking hot 28-year-old blonde girlfriend in the penthouse of his Manhattan apartment.
I think she's 31.
Well,
how dare you?
You definitely
whatever.
filled his shoes good here in Vegas, that's for
Thank
sure.
You.
I can't say much for the other act that comes on after you, that Dopey and Anthony.
Oh.
Right, but you, I listen to it every morning, so you're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Dina.
All right, take
well,
care, you guys.
I appreciate
Bye,
it.
Dina.
Yes, I did go Stern's apartment/condo, I guess it's a condo, is probably from where we are right now. We're right in the middle of Manhattan at the Television Radio Museum. His apartment is probably 10, 15 blocks from here. We could walk there and stand out front.
Just wait outside.
Come
that.
Home. Yeah.
Adam, what's it like in there?
Oh, it's a glorious shrine to radio. All the greats, the Grease Man up there. They have Mark and Brian. It is awesome. No, it is. It's on about the 50-something floor, which is weird. I can stay in a hotel on the 50-something floor, but I don't know about living there full-time, especially after 9/11. But
I was thinking Eric Clapton.
It is, right. This is a commercial building that doesn't have balconies and sliding doors. You know, it's sort of like when you go to an attorney's office and he's up there and he has the corner office with the big view and everything, and everything's just sort of pressed against the glass. There's no windows. The wall is a window. Exterior walls are sheets of glass. They're panels, like I said, like a more of a commercial building than a residential building. And you are over Central Park, essentially.
Wow.
And you can just see, I mean, his bathtub is against the window, and there's the Hudson River.
Wow.
And it's like, well, there's Harlem down that way, and there's Soho down that way, and there's Tribeca over there, and then you can see New Jersey and the Statue of Liberty. It's insane.
What do you estimate it's worth?
I don't know. It's got to be insane. I mean, it has to be with
at
the price.
At least like $100,000.
Oh, no, David, no. No, David.
More or less.
No, you're thinking Beaver Falls prices. This is probably 25 mil if it's a penny. Yeah, it is absolutely amazing. But the thing about it is we went out to dinner, and he just walks down the street.
People yell at him?
Yeah, they think he's Osama bin Laden, though, so he doesn't get as much crap as he would from the average New Yorker if they knew.
Speaking of which, Osama bin Laden, if he shows up on the show before the end of the week, that might be the only person who would trump Howard Stern.
Only if he plays Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Yes.
Interesting, yes.
All right. Well, enough of the ass licking. It feels nice, though, people. Thank you for calling in and giving us your approval. Keith Oberman is here. I'm a fan of his. He's in the green room. We'll bring him in a second. And for those of you who didn't hear the Stern interview, I think we'll replay it at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So says Bruska as well. So we'll do a replay on the Stern interview a little bit later on. But first, I was going to call him Steve for some reason. Steve Oberman. Yeah. Keith Oberman from MSNBC. He is the host of Countdown with Keith Oberman. We'll bring him in next. Show Keith Oberman in studio. Countdown with Keith Oberman, MSNBC, weeknights, 5-6 o'clock. I watched a show. I started watching Keith locally doing sports in LA. He tells me now 21 years ago.
Yeah, you were like 5 or 6, and I was like 11.
I always thought. Not only a competent job of doing the sports, better than competent, copious amounts of pomade in the hair. Keith's hair
used to
would
stand
be
straight
slicked
up.
Straight back. It was a great look for the 80s.
All right, to be fair, the hair was black, and there's nothing to do with it. Till it started to go gray, I could not make it do anything. When the gray started, it sort of like started to be cooperative. But before then, it was just just a big mess.
So from there to the network sports.
To ESPN, yeah.
Got fired.
No.
The networks.
Nope.
No.
No. Quit.
Quit.
Far more of an offense than getting fired.
to go to ESPN.
Fired at CBS Channel 2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Everybody who ever worked in the business got fired at Channel 2. If you have not yet been fired by Channel 2, you will soon
CBS,
be fired by Channel 2.
Yeah, shortly.
And then,
the Stern interview,
right.
Yes. and then off to Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah, right. The end of my career was supposed to be at ESPN.
Now, people, I've spoken to a lot of guys that had to, when you're on ESPN, you have to go to Bristol, Connecticut, and you just have to live there in semi-seclusion. It's like you're Salman Rushdie or something over there. What is that like? It's easy to make jokes about it, but what is that life like over there?
You have no idea you're actually on television. It's like an anonymity dome because you walk around and there's you go to a store and people go, oh, yeah, he works at ESPN. It's like, 50% of the people who come into their store work at ESPN. There's no discount.
So
there's
so
no fame whatsoever. I had no idea until I left how popular those shows were. None.
Because it's like the local base in a small town.
And there's no
like the Air Force base.
There were two pro teams in the neighborhood. There was the New Britain Red Sox. Who played with AA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, and then the Twins, who played like 12 minutes from my house, and then the Hartford Whalers hockey team, and that was it. And even in those areas, of Hartford or New Britain, it was like not that uncommon to see people from ESPN. So you had no idea that people were actually watching them. I mean, you heard anecdotally that people were watching, but it was very much like living inside this just
and
bubble.
No chance to cash in sexually on the newfound fame.
Now
yes.
Some of the guys I worked with made a point of traveling great distances to do that. But you're basically, the logistics of it were perfect or perfectly bad. You were 2 hours from New York, 2 hours from Boston. So you had to make a weekend of it, basically.
Right.
And that was the nearest. I mean, Hartford, who's going to bother?
Right.
It's not worth the trip to Hartford for that purpose.
And how many years were you there?
5.5.
And
better bring a girlfriend with you. That's the gist of it.
Really?
Yeah.
If you couldn't score in the days when you had the Tom Selleck mustache, nobody could.
Yeah, well, that was I later realized just what a preventative thing, what a prophylactic thing that actually was. I didn't really understand at the time. I thought it looked kind of cool in 1992. What can I tell you?
Right. Keith Oberman in studio. Also, you have a book out called Worst Person in the World. These are the worst people in the world?
Yeah.
I'm interested in this. I hear it's at number 18.
Yes,
on the, New York bestsellers list.
We've just printed, just broken into the New York Times bestseller list.
Well, give us some of the names on that
Well, we do. It's recycled stuff from the show. You might want to take note of this, Adam. You might make some more money off this project here. If you've got a segment that you can you do on a daily basis that you might think would hold up in a book form, they'd be likely to publish it. Mm-hmm. And we do this every night. We name the three nominees for worst persons in the world. It's obviously, you know, worst person in the world is somebody who's murdering their family. We're not talking about those. We're talking about people who are really intentionally evil.
Well, I don't want to cut you off, but David, we were talking off the air about Name That Poon, the coffee table book,
right.
I believe.
That would be
wonderful. Yeah, so write that down.
Just in time for the holidays.
Listen to the man.
Repurposed material.
That's right. Repurposed.
And
we got
into the top 20 New York Times bestseller, you know, and we rewrote it a little bit. And I honestly, in reading the proofs, it isn't a bad read. It's probably worth the money. Thank you. But I mean, so we get these three nominees, and for just as an example, one night the third nominee, the bronze level nominee, was Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
The silver went to Bill O'Reilly, and the winner was Bill O'Reilly.
Wow!
So that it gives you an idea where we're going there. We've had Rumsfeld on there, and Ann Coulter, and all sorts of fun people like that. So and then there are people you wouldn't have heard of, but pretty much, oddly enough, there are some politicians in there from time
now,
to time.
What left wing politicians or celebrities do you not like? I mean, it's easy.
Yeah, it is.
It's easier to focus on the ones over on the right who are blowhards and easy targets for everybody. But is there anyone over on the left who bothers you in the celebrity department, per se? Like, for instance, you went to high school with Bill Maher?
No, he was in college. Bill Maher and I were at Cornell together. We overlapped at Cornell.
Ah, honest, that's why it says high school.
That's bad preparation.
Right. You went to not as big a deal when you go to college. But
yeah, I mean,
are there guys over on the left you don't appreciate?
I don't like Bill. It's a good call.
Really, you don't care for him?
I don't like him. It's not like that. Just that sense that something bad is about to happen when you get in the room with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it never really erupts into either a fist fight or a shoving match or a name-calling match. But you sense that it could.
Mm-hmm.
I met him in college, and I felt that way about him then. He was a couple of classes ahead of me, but I met him there. He was performing then. And I met him in later on in, you know, at Politically Incorrect.
You were doing PI.
Yeah, and then I had him on my show a couple of times, and there's always been that sense that something like, you know, one of these days it's going
down.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is.
Who wins?
Oh, Keith.
Well,
I'm about a foot taller.
Easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's all right because he carries, I happen to know this, an infected pinky nail from a prostitute that is infected with Hep C that he will scratch you with. He's told me this on many occasions. If it ever goes down, I may get in the big licks, but he'll have the final laugh when I'm being ravaged by Hep C. It's a long acrylic nail from a stripper he spent some time with many years ago and said infected with Hep C. He keeps it on his keychain.
Many years ago, opposed to one of the more recent ones. So anyway,
yes.
He
makes no bones about that.
Well,
he'll tell you.
He makes some bones before. So thank you. You go in then with the fight with Bill Maher, you have to go with the garden shears and snip off the finger. Is that the idea?
You have to kill. That is essentially, when you fight with Bill Maher, it is the same as the croc hunter doing battle with the stingray. It's the one barb that'll get you. It's not overall you could kick the fish's ass, but if it catches you with the barb,
just right in the heart,
you're done with. I'm just saying as a little heads up, I'm friends with Bill.
You got a pen? Let me write this one.
If you guys have to throw down at some point, I'm saying watch the infected acrylic stripper nail.
Left hand, did you say?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You don't know. It's on the keychain. It depends what hand he's holding the keys with. But who else do you have on this list besides Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly?
Well, there's a lot of Bill O'Reilly on there. I mean, ultimately, we did choose him as the worst
person. You really hate him.
I have to confess that I don't hate him because if I hated him and say he went away, he was sort of plucked out of the universe or wished into the cornfield, I'd have so much less to talk about.
Yeah, it's like street sweeper hating someone who litters.
It's
this is your livelihood.
In many respects it is. So, you know, I can't say I hate him because, you know, every time we say something bad about him, he overreacts to it and gives us more material. It's classic.
Somebody's on the phone, I guess. Mike on line 9. Mike?
Yeah, how are you?
Good. You want to say hi to Keith?
My buddy used to work with Keith at
at Fox in L.A., and I just remember that there was just some hysterical stories about Keith. Just good, sort of quirky, neurotic nonsense. And I just I want to find out if they're all true.
Are you nutty, Keith?
I thought you said you used to watch me at KTLA and KCBS.
I did, but I was...
Why would you think anything's changed since then?
I was so transfixed by watching my own reflection in your hair, I could never really hear any of the words.
Well, caller, do you have any specifics?
Well, I heard about this pencil sharpener thing where people who use pencil sharpeners on the set, it, like, bothers migraine headaches or something.
So oh, God.
The electric ones?
There was
nobody could send out pencil... That nobody could use a pencil sharpener on the set.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy, there was one research guy who used to, so we used to sit in the newsroom doing the sports cast for 2 hours. First off, think about how much fun that could be.
Ugh.
And we had a room, I don't know, maybe there was the outside here. All right, so it's like 4 or 5 times the room we're in now. And it was an echo chamber, and there was a research guy.
So it's essentially 20 foot or 40 foot by 40 foot or something.
And a big echoey kind of room, and almost empty except for a couple producers and one research guy who liked to put everything on his cards, all the scores that they would hand you in pencil, but he could not stand having a blunt pencil.
Right.
So he sharpened this thing like 30 minutes out of every hour. And you're sitting there trying to read and listen to a producer and hear exactly. That's quite the event. And then just do it again. And in the National League, the Reds and the Twins and the...
Annoying.
So during the breaks, I would say, would you please sharpen the pencils before the show? I'll buy you sharp pencils every night. Just do something, anything other than this.
Right.
So this, of course, then became... You can't sharpen pencils on the air.
Well, do you have...
I mean, if you had somebody in here literally
sharpening
pencils, how long would that last?
I'm with you. I think we may suffer from the same disorder, which is hypervigilance. You notice things around you they bother you.
Or if your show were, as were the Fox Sports Net shows, were falling apart. I mean, you knew that within 90 seconds, there was an excellent chance something that would happen that would not only end the show and put everybody out of business, but end your own career within 90 seconds. And people were, while you were trying to avert this, and you were the only one in the room who knew this was going to happen.
Right.
Like we used to have, this is how bad these shows were. When Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa would hit a home run, the boss said, you know, it'd be a great idea, have sirens go off in the studio.
Sure.
Sirens and the light. So,
Fresca's idea. That's sirens.
It's our producer. Well, he does work over at Fox Sports
thought
for a while.
He looked familiar.
Do you know that man?
No, I'm going to kill him on the way out.
Please do it with a sharpened pencil.
So, all right, in that 90 seconds, and you're trying to, how am I going to stop this whole thing from falling apart? And the guy's in the, over there going, exactly. You might get a little tense. So that one's true.
When I used to do Loveline with Dr. Drew, he'd like to pick up a pen and just during the show, and you'd just be pecking away, and I'd say, hey, could you knock that off? And he'd say, why? Nobody can hear it. And it was like, well, obviously I'm hearing it. If I can hear it, then the listeners can hear it. And then you become some sort of out-of-control prima donna because you're asking someone to act like a human being at the workplace.
We're on the air. That's the first thing. It's like, we're on the air. I was always taught, we're on the air, everybody shuts up. If you're supposed to say something, that's great. But basically, everybody tries to be quiet,
that's always my argument.
I know. We're old-timers is what we are.
So you're not crazy. I mean, your demands are within reason.
Yes, I might be. I think hypervigilant is an excellent term, which I've never heard before, and I thank you for it. That might be it.
Well, it is a disorder I am now learning, and there are other things that go along with it.
But who studied it? Whoever studied it had to be even more hypervigilant than the people who haven't, right?
That's a good point.
They say Joe Montana, the quarterback, was great because of his hypervigilance. He could see everything.
Yeah. Here's how it manifests itself. Yes, you are sensitive to sounds and light and movement and things like that. I guess, and you tell me, I'll run through a few things that...
You mean being able to see a misspelling on a banner that is shown in a highlight, and it turns out it's shown for one half of a second,
and
calling somebody
you
up and saying, how come you guys didn't say anything about that? Is that hypervigilance, Adam?
Noticing it is hypervigilant. Picking up the phone is effing nuts.
Well, no, that's or being the sports director of the television stage, which is the same thing.
I understand. Well, what happens is you're sitting around and you're standing in a room and the wind blows the curtain a little, and the curtain is sort of almost behind you, at least off to the side, and you jump a little bit because you notice
corner of your
movement
eye.
Out of the corner of your eye. Also, you're in a restaurant. You're eating dinner. People, there's plates clanking. There's conversation. There's all sorts of ambient noise. But you do hear the song that's being piped through the speaker that's a couple of cork tiles to your left.
Yeah.
And you say to the person who's in front of you while you're eating, I dig this song.
That's right.
And this song's coming through. And they say, what song?
They don't hear
and then
any,
they say, furthermore, I don't hear any music.
Yeah.
And you say, well, no, stop and listen. And they go, I don't hear a thing. Yeah. And you have to tune everyone into stuff.
We're so we're like the meerkats in those National Geographic documentaries, those little disgusting little rodents that stand there on the edge of the hill and get up on their hind legs and go in the distance. Like they see something moving 17 miles away.
Yeah. Yes, there's always trouble afoot.
But it only bothers me on the air. I mean, it happens off the air, but it only bothers me on the air.
It doesn't affect your romantic relationships, for example.
No, I don't think so.
Have you ever had any, Keith?
Had any meerkat relationships?
No, I'm just saying it does affect the relationship. When I'm watching entertainment tonight, I stop the TiVo. I see John Mark Carr playing an acoustic guitar, and I say to my wife, wait a minute, I know this song. Fallen, that was a hit from the late 70s. And she says, who cares what a pedophile with a mullet is singing at his buddy's 80 wedding? And I say, hold, stop, stop the presses. Yeah. Somebody's got to get on iTunes and find this song now. See, that ruins a relationship.
Okay, you have it much worse than that.
Oh, really?
Clearly. I've been able to turn it into a professional advantage.
I think both of you have.
And what am I doing, laying tile right
now? No, all right.
Come on, buddy.
Using a
Howard Stern on the phone a minute.
Rented, you're
both pretty.
Keith Overman in studio. We'll take ourselves a quick break. You'll hang out with us. Yes, Keith?
Yes, I will. With that being issued as an instruction here, of course I will.
Yes, it would be our pleasure. Worst Person in the World. The book is now climbing the charts. We'll talk to Keith about MSNBC and more after this.
Uncle Dave reads a nursery rhyme for Adam's twins.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread. She whipped them all soundly and sent them to bed. That's not a half bad idea. The bad little kids, that's what they get. No bread, whipped soundly, to bed. Good night.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Keith Overman in studio. I've been watching for 21 years on television. He looks exactly the same.
Sans mustache.
And hair.
Yeah, but it's a smart move to have a beard, a stash, and a bunch of pomade in your hair when you're in your early, mid, or late 20s.
Right.
Then later on, you shave it off, your hair dries up, but you actually look younger because you look like one of our dad's friends in 1985.
Exactly. I had to be on television at 22. I needed all the help I could get. So.
That's right. No, I think the beard, and it's going to pay dividends for a lot of the young Hollywood hipster types that are sporting the full Dan Haggerty beard at 26 years of age. Mm-hmm. When they're 45 and they shave the beard off, they're going to look younger than we remember them 20 years earlier. I got to grow something.
Too late, Carolla.
Keith has himself a book out called The Worst Person in the World. We went over some of the names on it. Any more names on that book you'd like to share with us, Keith?
I'm trying to think.
How about in sports? There are many candidates in the world of sports.
Yeah, I think we've got, I think we've probably got Commissioner Bud Selig of baseball. I think he's in there at least six or seven times. Barry Bonds is in there a couple of times. And yes, exactly. And the usual characters. It's the mix of the political and the entertainment and the just sort of the ordinary guys. We have the guy, you probably did an hour on this. Mm. Remember last year there was a guy walked in and held up a Wendy's? It turned out his name was Ronald McDonald. I mean, it's just perfect kind of symmetrical things like that.
More his parents' fault than his fault, really. I mean,
he was destined
to try to roll a Wendy's.
Or something.
Right. I agree. I'm curious, like, I know who you think about the Marge Schottz of the world or the Barry Bonds of the world, and they're easy targets, at least when they were alive. But Who are the people, who are the sleeper a-holes? That's what I'm interested in, you know? I like hearing stories about Ellen DeGeneres being a C.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, I'm going to say something, and this will... This
especially
will be,
the people that everyone thinks are nice.
Right.
Who
this
are
is,
those?
This is the point. Maybe this is better known now than it was when I was a sportscaster in Los Angeles, but I would tell people in L.A. this, and no one believed me. Tom Lasorda.
Wait a second. Next thing you're going to say, you don't like Bill O'Reilly.
All right, so Tom Lasorda is not a secret anymore? Is
well, I think the secret got out with Tommy a few years back. He does. He'll curse up a blue streak. He is foul-mouthed. He's cantankerous.
And in a commercial break with you, he will tell you, this guy is a loafing son of a... And then come back and go, he's given me his all.
It is funny when he does explain that he bleeds Dodger blue and that him and all the greats and start waxing poetic about the glory days of the Dodgers and everything. And then, yes, as soon as the mics go cold, just starts dropping
If it's the other way around and you think you're about to have something revelatory on the air with him, and he comes back and goes, Cal Daniels is the best left fielder we ever had on this team. After basically he said, I'm trying to send him to a team in Formosa.
It is right. True, it's, yes.
So I guess that's not a secret.
Some of those Sports Center guys, I hear some bad things about a couple of the guys over there.
Like who?
Shall I say Chris Berman is the one I hear.
You know what? I went to high school with Chris. So trust me, my threshold on Chris was crossed in 1973. He was 6'4", which is 6'5" now, I guess. And he was like 100 pounds lighter, and he had hair down to his ass. And my mother will still say, gee, Keith, that sounds like the kid we gave the lift to, but it sure doesn't look like him. But Chris, with Chris's fame, the degree Chris could be a jackass and is not in lane, like Al Michaels, who once threatened the entire Twin Cities region in Minnesota because on the air, on the satellite, during the World Series, in between innings, came on and said, because my soap was in a wrapper and not a box in the hotel, Minneapolis and St. Paul, the worst place I've ever been to, minor league facility, and knew people were listening to this.
Wow. I got to tell you, my soap at the hotel that we're at looks like a pube chia pet, and yet I said nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Do you believe in miracles?
You're a trooper.
That's right.
Because you're a trooper. But Al, so if you compare what Al and Chris is like, has almost not changed since high school in comparison, other than the hair and the...
So he could be a bigger blowhard than he actually is.
Oh, no.
That's what I just heard.
What I'm saying is he could be like 100 times bigger of a blowhard than he is. Chris contains himself rather than turn into
so
a
he's
complete
humble, you say.
Well, on the curve, yes.
Well,
ordinary humble, no. None of us are ordinary humble.
I don't want to tell you how to do your own program, but here's a tip. I can give you when it comes time to talk about people that you clearly don't like.
Yeah.
This is a little code so everyone knows what you're thinking. You mention their name twice. You see? Well, watch. I'll do it in a sentence as if we're interviewing. You ask me what I think of the crew here, and I'll do it.
Adam, give me your assessment of your crack professional staff.
Well, I got to tell you, Brian, no man better on the sound effects. He's probably only better off the sound effects when you're socializing with the guy. He's a great guy. I like to crack a beer with him, and he's a great guy to go into battle with. Teresa, she's a pro with the news, and like I said, lights up the room on and off the microphone. And Dave, well, you know, Dave's Dave. Dave's going to be Dave. You know? That means a-hole. When they say the name twice, that means a-hole. And if you hear right now in front of anything when he asks someone what they're doing.
All right, so it'd be like Craig Kilborn. Craig Kilborn was Craig Kilborn.
I was just going to ask you about Craig Kilborn.
What's Craig Kilborn doing? Well, right now,
Craig's being Craig. We don't know where exactly.
Yes,
we don't know what happened to him. We know he jumped off that cliff and we haven't seen him
right
since.
Right now, that's the career equivalent to saying the name twice. And actually, Kilborn actually works for both. Quite nice.
Perfect.
I see you've hung out with him too.
Is it that bad?
Used to be one of my best friends.
Oh yes.
Then he got that show.
You had a falling out?
No. The only thing that ever the only person I ever heard ever retracted an apology. He said something about me. I had a stalker and there was a physical violence threat and in an article he said something about People at SportsCenter wanted to hit me in the back of the knee like Jeff Galluli hit what's-her-name?
Right. Well,
and I said, please don't. Whatever you say, everything you want, don't say hit me in the back of the knee. Somebody's going to, well, I'm very sorry. And then he called back. He said, listen, KO, I got the facts of the article that I wrote, and I didn't say exactly as bad as you. I knew it wasn't me because it wasn't funny enough. But I saw what it said there, and it didn't really merit an apology, so I'm withdrawing the apology. I went, oh.
He apologized and then took back
the apology.
Well, I knew Craig was Craig when I did his show many times. Yeah. And during the commercial break, must have been 5 years ago, I said, hey, Craig, I know you love to play the hoops. We got a game over at my house we play every Saturday. You know, it's not a star-studded event, but it's good guys having a fun game on a nice half court. And he said, I play with Dusty Hoffman and Gary Shandling. And I said, Kimmel's probably the biggest celebrity we have over there, but it's still good guys and a good time if you like playing ball. He was confused by my invite because there weren't celebrities in the game and didn't even blow me off like you should do, which is, give me your address. I'll swing by one of these weekends. What time do you play? He just looked at me confused for a long time and eventually was like, what? I don't think so, because Gary Shandling's not playing in the game with you.
And honest to God, he wasn't like that. I mean, he was like that most of the time at ESPN, but there once a year he'd do something so incredibly loyal that you go, yeah, all right, I'm keeping this guy for another year. He'd do something great. He'd swear at management on your behalf and have no self-interest in it whatsoever, could not possibly benefit from it, and that all went away.
Well, maybe they invited him to play basketball at their house on the weekend, and that's what set him off.
But listen, no, I'll top you on this. This is the all-time story. After the break, a friend of mine who stayed friends with him came out.
After he left ESPN.
Talking to him because he retracted the apology.
Right.
My friend who said, I'm going to stay in touch with him. We'd come out from New York, and we'd go and visit Craig, and then he'd come and visit me.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the three of us hanging out the way we used to. And he comes in, and he's white as a sheet. He's just seen Craig, and he went, you're absolutely right. I went, what? He says, you're absolutely right. I said, what? He said, he was sitting there telling me about how they finally did it, how they finally beat Conan O'Brien in New York, and he's going on and on about this is the big breakthrough, like I'm not in the business, and I don't understand that the night he's talking about was the night Letterman came back from his angioplasty. And to explain that, Letterman, the night he came back from his angioplasty, beat Jay Leno in the ratings, like 10-1.
Right.
20-1. And Craig, with the leftover audience, beat Conan O'Brien by 1%.
Right.
He blew almost the entirety of a 10-run lead in the ninth inning and was congratulating himself without acknowledging that it had anything to do with Letterman.
Well, Craig was like, seems
check,
Craig,
please.
Craig's Craig.
Keith is right now.
And we need to take a break. And let me just say this. I don't want to embarrass you in front of your mother. Bruska's mom is here in the studio. But Bruska was standing behind you doing the break thing, which I see you, Bruska. But Keith is in the middle of a story. I'm not going to hit him with a folding chair and try to strangle him with the mic cord.
Play the siren. Just play the siren.
I see you. If I give you the thumbs up, then Keith will think his story's interesting.
Sharpen a pencil, somebody.
All right.
Tap me on the shoulder. I'll turn around and go, I'm sorry. We have to go to a break now. I am in this business.
I understand.
All right.
You're a pro. I'm sorry for underestimating you. That's Keith Olbermann, everyone. MSNBC weeknights, 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Countdown with Keith Olbermann. Also, the book, Worst Person in the World, out and climbing the charts. Keith, thank you. Come back anytime.
And anytime you're here, Adam.
We will take a quick break. Well, maybe a while. Howard Stern, we interviewed him a couple hours back. We will play a replay of the Howard Stern interview after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, live from New York City, powered by TravelWorm.com. Mention Adam and get an extra 10% off select hotel rooms through October 15th. Before you pay too much, TravelWorm.com. We'll be right back with more of The Adam Carolla Show. It's the last week of September and your final chance to outbook August in September. $10,000 is on the line, and right now, Big Tad is in the lead with Howard Stern.
You know, the idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me. I'm sure the show is in good hands.
Well, thank you very much.
Outbook August in September.
Well, it's put up
or shut up time, Mike August.
And win $10,000.
10 grand is going to the person that gets us the best guest in the month of September.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
We are in New York City this morning. We'll be here tomorrow as well, and then back in L.A. on Wednesday doing a little something for the advertisers. I must be honest, I haven't figured it out yet, but Gnarls Barkley is going to be performing tonight at some gig that we're doing, and that seems good enough for me. Now, earlier, we spoke to Howard Stern. Big Tad got him on the blower. If Mike August hasn't already killed himself, he should be planning on it for later this afternoon. And his jump to the front of the leaderboard in the Outbook August and September competition, 10 grand. But again, for those of you who are listening, the bar's been raised, but the competition is not over. You now must get a big celebrity, and they need to be in studio, and you will walk away with that $10,000. Anyway, the response was so strong when we talked to Stern in the 7 o'clock hour, I believe, that we decided to replay the interview for those who tuned in a little bit later. So, without any further ado, this is Howard Stern. I'm on his show simultaneously. He's on our show, of course, and enjoy. Howard, good to speak to you.
Good speaking to you, too. Adam's
What's
got sound effects.
Sound
effect.
Oh.
Got sound
already, already making fun of the show. Oh. 4 seconds in, Howard.
This is beautiful, of course. We are doing our show here at Sirius Satellite while you do your show at so-called Free FM.
That's right.
Right. How is it going at Free FM, Adam?
I would give it a 5.5 to a 6.
All right. That's not good.
That's out of 80.
Adam, seriously, we haven't talked in a while, and congratulations on your twins. I was happy to see that.
Oh, yeah, twins.
Yeah, and I don't mean he went to bed with two girls at the same time.
I was just saying, finally banged twins.
No, he did not bang twins.
Oh.
He might have, but him and his wife had twins.
Wow.
Speaking of twins, I miss Robin. Robin, how are you?
Yes. You want to know something, though? Boys or girls?
A boy and a girl, and Howard sent a beautiful gift for both of them.
I got to tell you something. I sent a gift to Adam, you know, when he had the baby, the babies. So I don't even hear back from him. And then Jimmy Kimmel comes to my house, and I said to Jimmy, I don't mean to make you a go-between, but I think it was really rude. Like, I sent Adam, like, a pretty nice baby gift.
And you heard nothing.
I didn't even get, like, a thank you or an acknowledgement that I, sent the gift. And then Jimmy called Adam and said, that's pretty crummy of you, not calling Adam. And, Adam, you should call Howard and thank him and stuff. So then Adam broke down and thanked
me. Called.
Well, how about the part where I told Jimmy, don't tell Howard you called me?
Right.
How about that part?
This is a very interesting situation we're in again, because we can't curse right now.
Right.
Oh, yes.
We can't invite him to curse.
This sucks.
We can't do it on his air.
No, are you on live or are you taped now?
No, we're live.
Oh, you're live. Okay. Well, we'll try to restrain ourselves. We're getting really used to cursing over here. Like, it's like nothing now,
To be fair to me, if you people, not the people in the studio, but if you people were just sitting at home and you got a couple of outfits and it said from Howard Stern, would you think it was from the actual Howard Stern?
So you didn't think it was actually from him?
A lot of impersonators out there.
You have a good point.
You know him.
Yeah, but...
My self-esteem is so low that I assumed it was someone effing with me.
I'm the same way. Like, I've actually gotten calls from celebrities at home.
Right.
And I the first thing I do, I call Gary. I go, Gary, you realize it's probably not them. It's probably Sal and Richard goofing on us.
Right.
Go check it. Then he has to go through a process of checking. Because the worst thing would be a tape of me floating, floating around where I'm talking to some dude. And it's not him.
Yeah, thinking you're talking
to him. Well, I got a call from Ricardo Montalban, and I believed it.
By the way, that is our announcer, Adam. That is, of course, George Takei from the great Zulu.
Oh, yes, yes.
He is now announcing on our show.
Well,
hello.
Have you heard, good to talk to you, George, have you heard any of our radio program?
I haven't heard any of it, but maybe George did.
No, frankly, I have not. I heard about it.
I never thought you'd be getting up early in the morning.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine you getting in on time.
Yeah.
How is it going?
I gotta say that the show it's a tall order. It's tough to do 4 hours of radio, and it's tough to do 4 hours of comedy at 6 a.m. because
right.
morning, there's a reason that there are no comedy clubs open at 6 a.m. and that you can't get pot roast at any breakfast diner. Comedy is not made to be done at 6:45 in the morning. But I had the twins, so that was sort of me saying, all right, this, you're in for the long haul. You can't just freak out on heroin and not show up. It is
gone. Jimmy told me you're the worst father, though. Like, you bet, you like kind of just...
Listen.
You tune out the kids and the wife.
Well, let me say this about Kimmel. He simultaneously calls me an abusive father and an absentee father. And my question to you, Jimmy, is which is it?
I can't be both.
I can't be beating my kids from Florida while I'm banging strippers.
Quick, what are their names?
You know this, Adam.
Hold on, I got a laminate in my wallet. The boy's
really,
name?
Like, Adam is the most distant father. Like literally will just like walk around and like act like he didn't have kids.
Really?
And he's shocked that it now takes up his time.
Please. He has a small team of Guatemalan nannies raising his kids, and he should speak. Howard, I named the boy Howard, and I named the girl Howard. Weena.
No, Robin.
Robin. Her middle name's Robin.
That's right.
Now, what is going on? I'm embarrassed to say I haven't heard the show because I haven't even listened to terrestrial radio except for 2 days of David Lee Roth that I heard.
And that's all you can say.
Yeah.
You must have loved that.
It was amazing. But I really, literally have not listened to terrestrial radio. And despite the recent rumors started by Clear Channel and Inside Radio, I have no desire to go back to terrestrial radio.
We also aren't where Adam is broadcasting, so we haven't heard and we haven't gotten any tape.
Yeah, right. Well,
no,
I understand.
No, I'm not insulted. I look at it as bullet dodged. The last thing I'd want is for you to be reading me an encyclopedia of what I'm doing wrong every morning radio show.
But the thing is, you know, I do not miss it one bit. I love it here.
We're glad it's you.
Better you than me. I am telling you, I was miserable. I'm happy now. I enjoy my job. I enjoy getting up for work in the morning. This is a very bizarre thing for me. And I like having my own radio channels and programming and doing my own thing.
All those things you were reading last week that were worrying you are not true. We're not coming back.
We're not coming back to terrestrial radio. No.
The twins will eat.
It's crazy over here. It's sort of
like once you've moved to Amsterdam and lived there for summer, there's no way you're moving back to Utah.
That's right. Once you can go to a cafe and smoke hash, it's not going to happen.
You know, I'm realizing how talentless I am. I can't interject. Every joke I have has a curse in it. I got to be silent throughout this whole interview.
Artie is so funny on satellite because it turns out he has to work dirty.
Yeah, I'm a blue comic.
Let's be honest. What is going on with ratings? Is it looking good for you? Is it tough to get a foothold in the marketplace? Talk to me.
Well, it is. I mean, I think we've been having the most trouble in Los Angeles. The national stuff or the affiliate stuff has been pretty good, which is we were number one in Vegas a few months back and doing pretty well around the country.
You were number one in Vegas?
Number one in Vegas, after two or three months in.
You know, it's amazing to me. I was number one in Vegas, and you're telling me it took you like a matter of months to be number one. I thought it was a great accomplishment to be number one in Vegas.
Well, it took us like 7 weeks or something like that, so it was some work.
Yeah,
I had to talk and everything. They didn't just make us number one.
Well, listen, you always have a place here at Satellite Radio when you get completely set up
thanks, buddy.
Reassuring.
I hope the boss is listening. Here's the thing. L.A., we started off at as close to zero as you can, which is, again, and it does suck following Howard Stern. I know it just seems like I'm kissing some ass here, but it's like coming in to high school. What you want is your older brother who graduated to be a D student who punched out a couple janitors, not the captain of the football team who was nailing all the cheerleaders. So the number, you would be very flattered, Howard, by the number of nobody's Howard Stern conversations I've had in the last 8 to 10 months. But L.A. started off at close to zero, and the good news is we've doubled our zero rating. we started off at like a 0.7, and we've made our way up to like a 1.7 over the last 8 months or so. So the ratings have steadily been climbing.
It's probably a very valuable 1.7. I mean, you got the demographic that everyone covers.
The richest part
of L.A.
Audience,
yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, to sum up our situation over here, we're cursing up a storm.
Right.
Having a good time.
We're having a blast. We now have over 4.5 million subscribers. So that's real good, and that's a business. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the audience came with us, we're hoping to get more in the future. You know, we haven't even been here a year yet. And it really is a different kind of radio because you don't have to really answer to sponsors. You don't have to answer to management. Literally, we don't even get a directive from
management. Yeah, I mean, you guys are on free FM, but we really feel more free.
We feel more free than you do.
Artie feels effing free.
Yeah, we all feel very free. And it's been really great. It's been a great experience because I'll tell you something. After doing terrestrial radio for 25 years, I kind of feel like I'd about gone as far as I could go and conquer as much as I could conquer. And this is a whole different kind of universe. And
well, I got to say, to be fair to the man on terrestrial radio, we've not had a lot of guys coming in telling us what to do, what not to do. You do have to mind your P's and Q's. And I will say, Howard, that the guy who works the dump button at the radio station is so paralyzed with fear because no one knows what the FCC wants anymore.
Right.
I told you
were going to have a problem with that.
Well, who knew you couldn't use the N-word, first off?
Right. Are they not letting you use the N-word?
I don't know. I've not tried that. Here's the point. We have gone through three guys who run the dump button in 9 months. We have literally fired three guys thus far. And as I was saying, as far as free speech goes, we don't know what we can do and can't do anymore, so we just censor ourselves. It's essentially what the terrorists have done to us. They don't have to fly any more buildings into planes. I'm at the airport with my shoes off being put through a metal detector. They've won. We're imposing it on ourselves.
But that is why I left. I couldn't take the idea that I had to sit there and think through everything I did rather than just be funny. I couldn't take it anymore. I felt that not only when I decided that something could go on the air, then there were 20 guys hitting buttons all over the country, and it just got boring and it just got old for me. And starting up a whole new business seemed like an intriguing thing and something great to do. And everybody's really satisfied. And you know, we got a couple of guys on this channel. We rerun our show all day, so you can you know, if you're a fan, you know, because a lot of fans only
have you listened, Adam? Do you have?
Well. No, I was going to lie and say I did, but then when you said you didn't listen, I just decided it was okay to say. No, but, you know, Kimmel keeps me well informed. He's a big fan. He's a big fan, and he constantly listens to you so he can explain to me what's wrong with my radio show.
Yeah.
You know, every day about noon, we sit down and we set aside 3 or 4 hours to do a little thing called "Here's What Howard Did." We do an air check. We go through it in real time, starting and stopping. But no, because of my schedule and because of I don't know. I've been too lazy and too stupid. I am going to sign up, and I'm going to listen to you, though, Howard. I will make you that promise.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really fun. We have Howard TV now. Howard TV is on demand, and that is a service that actually airs the shows unedited.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of big stuff. We had a couple of really big shows last week. What was the big show last week, Robin, that we did on Howard TV? Give Adam an idea, because I think he should get that, too.
Well, I mean,
Mr. Methane farted on a chick that got sexually abused by her stepdad
it's
for 20
much
minutes.
Worse than that.
No. It's gotten much worse. It's gotten more hardcore. We went. I'm trying to think. Last week alone, what did we do
last week? I know Sal and Richard. That was the first painting episode.
Yeah, tell me what we did, Gary.
Okay, we had Howie Mandel. Then porn star Jessica James wrote the Sibian.
Have you heard of the Sibian, Adam?
No, what's the Sibian?
Sibian is a mechanical bucking horse that...
Well, it doesn't buck, actually.
It could. You can make a buck. It's a horse that women sit on, and they get sexually excited when they sit on the horse.
It vibrates?
It vibrates. It's very intense, and we put different women on there. And at one point, we had an 83-year-old woman on there who almost passed out.
We had a grandmother-granddaughter Sibian ride a couple of
times. Yes. We got a grandma and a granddaughter on the Sibian at the same time. And I got to tell you, it was good radio, but it was great television. This is, we're trying to pioneer new and exciting things for people who are our subscribers.
We had the Hodeo.
We had a Hodeo. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear the Hodeo.
This is something you can do.
All right. I'm writing.
Well, we'll change the name slightly.
We had three women. Mm-hmm. Let's see. And one was a Holocaust survivor, one was a Nazi, and they rode together on the
Hold on, slow down.
We bring Holocaust survivors and Nazis together on the Sibian. and the Holio is probably something on Free FM I couldn't even describe
right.
to you. But trust me when I tell you it was the right thing to do on the air.
Well, Howard, shifting to the social topics, I'm going to be in town for a day and a half.
Yes,
you going to have any time?
Yeah, I tried to call you back. The short answer is no, because you're only in town till when? Tuesday night?
Tuesday. Tomorrow afternoon, actually.
Oh, all right. No, but don't hold it against me. Because I actually had, I got something going on, but I'll tell you about that when I speak to you off the air.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yes. Yes.
All right. I'm curious.
It's very secretive.
Curious to hear about that. Well, any advice for me, as long as we're talking on the air about being on the air?
Yeah, I think you quit. And you get out of there with your dignity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you come over here and have a really good time.
All right. So
what
quit
do you think of that?
Nazi Holocaust.
Yeah.
Well, Howard and I, you know, I know Howard got a little PO'd at me once because we were talking about doing satellite radio. And I said to him, how much? And he said, you're an artist, sir. How dare you ask how much from the guy? Guy's making $500 million a year. I'm asking
for you.
That's what I said. How much? And he's like, whoa, wow, it's about money? Whoa.
Well, no, I'm never pissed off at you. You're a friend, and I wish you the best of luck. And, you know, the idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me. I'm sure the show is in good hands.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Adam. And to all our fans who are still listening to conventional, boring, old-fashioned radio.
Hold on, doll. To all of Howard's fans who have to pay $13 a month to listen to a Holocaust survivor ride a mechanical bull, turn over to Free FM.
Adam, don't get insulted. You know I'll quote you. You said to me originally, I don't give a damn about radio. I just want to get paid. Don't act like you're all offended by my comments about terrestrial radio.
All right, brother.
Adam,
we'll talk soon.
Adam will do whatever radio anyone will pay him to do.
Listen,
a man who has twins.
That's right. He's got to pay those bills.
I'll get on the phone with Hanoi Jane and do something that makes fun of the troops from Iraq if it pays well enough.
That's all. Listen, Adam, good luck. And I want to speak to you soon, and I do want to get together. And congratulations on your twins.
Thanks, Howard. We'll talk soon.
All right, later.
Bye, Robin.
Adam Carolla.
Artie.
Bye, Robin.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Replay of the Howard Stern interview that we did in the 7 o'clock hour. We figured some of you might want to hear it who weren't tuned in at the time. So we need to take a break because we're horribly behind. We are going to come back and figure out who won last week's Outbook August and September competition. $1,000 on the line if you win the week. $10,000 could be in Big Tad's fat coffers because of the Howard Stern booking, but you can still, the bar's high, but you can still get over it. Somebody big, somebody in person. This is your last week for $10,000 of my money. We'll take a quick break and we'll award the $1,000 after this.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Da, 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 da. Start spreading the nudes. Hey, what up, peeps? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Hell of a show for you tomorrow. From The Sopranos, Frank Vincent. David Cross from Arrested Development. That's it, no TNA. Hey, Jack's off to recruit some Rockettes for a private kick line in my hotel suite. It's going to be hot late.
Thanks, Jack. All right. Well, we're in a rush because all the Stern goings on. But we will try to figure out the winner of last week. Now, again, Outbook August and September, we give a weekly winner. And then at the end of the month, we have the overall winner. $10,000 of my money. Bonus money from Vegas. I'm giving it away open to everyone, as I announced at the beginning, family members, friends, even staff members, people that are employed by the station. One of them who's employed by the station, Big Tad, came out with, Howard Stern this morning and is the front runner. Again, not eligible for last week's $1,000, but certainly this week's $1,000, plus, of course, the big $10,000 grand prize. So last week we had Norm MacDonald in studio. He was a good guest. And
very
it's not
funny,
it's
yes.
not only the name. A Norm MacDonald phoner where he plugged his website over and over again wouldn't be in the running.
Yes,
but he came in, told some good stories, made fun of Bill Cosby, and
was very funny.
So, also, Lennox Lewis, heavyweight champion Lennox Lewis. Lennox was a phoner, but Lennox basically talked about steroid use of the Klitschko's. Also, talked dollars. I like this. Mm-hmm. When I said, how much to get you back into the ring with Klitschko, he said it'd be $35 or $40 million.
Told us exactly how much he had in the bank, a little less than $200 million, he told us.
Yes. Right.
And frank and open.
How much the Klitschko brother would get paid to get in the ring with him as well. Matt Hughes, Ultimate Fighting Champion, came in. Decent guest, not a huge name, but did get Big Tad a sleeper hold in the green room during the break,
that's
and that scores
some
points. Larry Johnson, the all-pro running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, came in, and he was very candid and open, too, helping gambling.
He was picking the lines, yes. I would throw out, what about, do you like him with minus the 4.5? And he'd say, no, they're not going to cover
He was not on Team Coy.
All right, so this is tough because there's no one big name, and there's guys, you know, we have boxers, we have football players, ultimate fighters, comedians. It's tough to figure out who did what and who deserves to win this one. I'd love to say Lennox Lewis because I'm a fight fan, but he was on the phone. I feel like we did some online polling, and the folks at AdamCarolla.com feel Norm McDonald
really
is last week's winner.
I forgot about that.
I gotta say, I mean, listen, I'm biased. I like sports, obviously, but Larry Johnson is at least among the non-QBs in the NFL, is maybe the biggest star there is
because
in the most popular.
Yes,
in the most popular sport in America. So to me, maybe he's the biggest.
Well, you're not only biased with the football players, but big black men in general, I think you do enjoy.
You like a little too much.
Well, so it's Larry Johnson. I don't know. I got to go Norm McDonald. Maybe not an A-list celebrity, but came in here and danced his ass off for 15 minutes and still edges out whoever. If anyone has a real objection to that, chime in now or forever hold your peace. Brian, you got a puss on.
Now, who booked him?
That's Mike August.
Wow.
Just to be fair. So Mike August wins last week. But again, that is just a drop in the ocean because there's $10,000 to be given away next week. And so far, that looks like it's going to Big Tad. But again, do not quit, everyone. Don't get discouraged.
If you're giving it to Norm, then he gets Jerron, the intern's, rollover money from the week prior. He doesn't get $500. He gets $1,000, if you recall. Jerron went double or nothing needlessly, and now caused himself $500.
That's all right. Jerron lives in Inglewood with his functionally illiterate grandfather in a refrigerator box, so he's fine. August, you on the phone? Mike August?
Thank you.
There you go, buddy. You're going to take the $1,000 for Norm McDonald, and I know you have something big planned for later this week, but if there's ever time to dust off the Rolodex and call in a favor, it is this week, my friend. Otherwise, the $10,000 will be given to Big Tad, and you will have to spend an additional $10,000 on therapy because Big Tad beat you at your own job.
God will not permit this injustice.
Well, Big Tad on cloud 9 right now. Let's hope that cloud is weight-bearing.
Yes, he's spilling over onto cloud 10 and 11. So, do you have a surprise for us later on this week?
I have several surprises I'm working on.
All right. Well, you outdo Stern on the phone, and you will win that $10,000. Mike August, nice job. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Norm McDonald. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Please do not call him. He doesn't care for that sort of thing.
Yep. Well, $1,000 going to Mike August for Norm McDonald. But again, Howard Stern going to be tough to beat this week. All right, I want to thank Jim Cramer from Mad Money. That's right. Play that music. Also, Jimmy Kimmel. For calling me on the cell phone moments before I talked to Howard Stern and said, don't blow it 10 times before I hung up on him. Nothing better. Anyone who knows anything about psychology will tell you having a guy yell at you, don't blow it, moments before you talk to Howard Stern is the best way to approach an interview. Keith Olbermann for coming in, and of course, the great Howard Stern. So, tomorrow from New York as well. And then we'll be back. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.